Woof. You're woofing now?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing, man?
Bear woof.
You're ruining the whole program. The Joe Rogan Experience is brought to you by a bunch of different shit. We got a new sponsor. It's called Ting. And what Ting is a cellular company, a cell phone company that they buy time on Sprint. They allow you to get great cell phones on a great service with no contracts. You don't have to pay any cancellation fees. If you only use a certain amount of minutes, those minutes roll over to the next month. So you only pay for what you use. They have a whole tiered system. It's real simple, real easy. And if you go to rogan.ting.com, you can save $50 off of any of the new phones, including the Samsung Galaxy S3. That's the newest shit that they got. That's pretty fucking badass. It's a huge-ass phone. I can't tell you that much about the Sprint service, to be honest, because I just started using it. But the phone itself is slick as fuck. The Galaxy S3. I had used to have a Droid, and Brian had the same thing. That Droid 2.
Yeah, it's a hunk of shit. I had one of the early ones. I'm sure it's way better now.
Yeah, the Droid 2 is a hunk of shit.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But this Samsung Galaxy S3 is bad as fuck. Go to rogan.ting.com and get yourself $50 off, you dirty bitches.
I'm pretty jealous of that, actually.
I'll get you one.
You know how you had the problem with Doug Benson? Like, you text him and he never got it?
Yeah.
I saw that happen 2 more times since then. And I saw it happen again last night where, like, I sent text messages to Brody and he never got it.
Listen, son, you're on an FBI list. You know you are.
The fuck?
You know you're on an FBI list. You know you are. We got freeway motherfucking Ricky Ross on the podcast. You don't think all your cell phone text messages are being intercepted?
Sucks.
Listen, son, we've been, ever since Michael Rupert was on this motherfucker, we've been under lockdown. That's why your shit's missing. Yeah. Some FBI dude's whacking off to your dick pictures.
It's going to be worse now.
It's going to be worse now, goddammit. We're also brought to you by Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T. We have new shit in Hemp Force. It's a delicious new protein powder that is made with maca and raw cocoa, and it's fucking sensational. And it's easily the best and most digestible protein. You won't get nearly the kind of gas that you get if you fuck around with that whey shit. Like Muscle Milk, it tastes good, but you'll fucking stick up the joint. This is different. We also have battle ropes and kettlebells. The new wave of functional fitness is battle ropes and kettlebells are a big part of it. And what they are is you're using exercise equipment that makes you use your whole body in one motion instead of doing things like curls and like isolation exercises, which don't necessarily apply to athletic endeavors. Instead of doing that, you're doing things like kettlebells, which is like this bowling ball that's on a handle and you're swinging them around. And what it does is it forces your body to move as one unit. And so you get strong and actually moving shit around as opposed to just getting like a good bench press. You know what I'm saying? So it's all interesting stuff. If you're interested in it, go to onnit.com, check it out. If you use the code name Rogan, you will get 10% off any and all supplements. Also, for the supplements, especially the controversial ones like Alpha Brain, Freeway Ricky, you will not test positive. If somebody gives you one of these, you will not be in trouble. This is all shit that your body, it's just natural. Normal nutrients. It's just high levels of refined nutrients. There's a 100% money back guarantee in the first 30 pills of these things. If you try them and you say this is bullshit, and by the way, I have friends that say it's bullshit. I'm going to be honest with you. I have people that I know very well. They try it. They don't like it. For me, it's fucking elixir. For me, it's God's gift. For Duncan Trussell, it's God's gift. Joey Diaz raves about it. Lorenzo Fertitta is completely addicted to this stuff. But Brian doesn't even like it. It doesn't even work on him.
Oh, I don't see, like, it's, for a while I thought it was doing something, but then I got off it, and I was like, wait, I feel the same. And I don't know. I think if you're on it, shouldn't you be, like, more, I don't know. For me,
You might be too retarded for Alpha Brain, bro.
Yeah, it might be just too past that.
You might be too retarded for Alpha Brain. But for me, it's the shit, son.
The new mood. I'm all about the new mood.
New mood is fantastic. What new mood is, it's a 5-HTP and L-tryptophan supplement. And 5-HTP helps your brain produce serotonin. And that actually makes you feel happier. 5-HTP has long been used as an antidepressant by a lot of people. You take that 5-HTP, your brain produces more serotonin, which, by the way, as you get older, it just fucking slows down. It's just, you can either deal with it and deal with this new level of feeling that you have, or you can supplement. And that's what I'm all about, man. I'm all about taking the shit that makes me feel the best. It's the most healthy. That's why I'm down with Alpha Brain, you dirty fucks. Mm-hmm. All right, we are also brought to you by DeskSquad.tv. DeskSquad.tv is the website for all of Brian's podcasts. If you see the website, if you see Desk Squad podcast, anything that has Desk Squad with that crazy cat on it, that's all Brian's shit. And you can support that by going to DeskSquad.tv. And there's two different cat t-shirts you can buy. Can you still buy the first one?
No, only one.
Get that first one back, son. It was a keeper.
That's the whole thing. It's like a collector's edition. So but once they sell out, they're gone forever.
I need that cat in the second one. That cat in the second one is evil. That has to be on something. Like we should make an actual sculpture. Oh, by the way, whoever sent me that fucking werewolf having sex with the gorilla, you're a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
I told a story about a crazy dream that I had. I told a story on the show about I should save this for after the right. podcast. Go to DeathSquad.tv. There's two different t-shirts that are available.
There's only one now. See, Alpha Brain.
The new one's the better one. The new one's the better one anyway. But you can also go to Doug.com and you can donate to Brian through Amazon.com. And what this does is, like, say if you want to buy something on Amazon anyway, if you go through Brian's website, they'll give him a kickback.
D-U-G-G-E-D.
So, yeah, D-U-G-G-E-D.com. So there's all different ways that you can help out the show. And for me, I just want you to be you. Oh. All right? That's all I want out of you, you dirty fucks. All right, we got a hell of a show tomorrow night at the Lobero Theater in Santa Barbara, California. Joe Diaz and Duncan Trussell. But right now, Fuiri Ricky is in the fucking house. We're going to get down to business. Hit the music, son.
Joe Rogan Podcast. Check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night. All day.
You know, rarely in life does it become more evident to me that we are on the wrong fucking track as a culture than when I pick up Rolling Stone. And Rolling Stone used to have Hunter S. Thompson writing stories about taking acid in Vegas, and they were spectacular. I mean, today they still have Matt Taibbi, who breaks down all the reality behind the financial crisis. But Rolling Stone has a guy on it who's really fat, and he's covered in tattoos, and he's got your name.
Yeah.
This is the craziest shit I have ever seen in my life as a human. Because this, at this point, is like, we're weird, man. We are a weird fucking species.
Yeah.
There's nothing weirder than, like, as if he hadn't called himself Rick Ross, this shit would have never happened for him. As if. I mean, what kind of faith does that have in your talent? He could change his name right now. Yeah. He could change his name right now to something else and be just as huge. I mean, how many times has Puff Daddy changed his name? P. Diddy, and then now he's just Diddy. You know, think about that.
Well, you know, but his whole image is based on the name. You know, he's built his whole career around this name, and he's afraid to change it.
That's the thing that some dudes do. Like, they'll call themselves Capone. You know, they'll call themselves something fucked up that's like, you know, I'm Tony Montana, motherfucker. They'll call themselves somebody who actually was a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
What people don't know, people that aren't from my generation, what they don't know is that during this whole Iran-Contra thing that was going on, when it became revealed that Oliver North, that they were selling illegal guns, and there was some drug dealing in the CIA in the hood that was like admitted and not admitted. It was crazy times. But my point is, you became a prominent figure on the news.
Yeah.
It was a big, high-profile case, and before you went to jail, it was very evident who you were. I mean, it was a big case.
Yeah, it was. The LA Times once put me on as the Walmart of crack cocaine. I think that's what he said.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, sorry, this is Freeway's friend. What is your name again, brother?
I'm Rick's attorney.
His attorney.
Yeah, okay. So, Antonio.
Antonio, so, thank
you. You know, I got to ride with an attorney now.
I hear you, brother.
When they pull me
that's
over.
Smart.
They pull me over. Hey, you...
You got the perfect attorney, though. He's young and cool, you know? You lucked out.
Joe, we got to remember what year it was. It was
right.
1996.
Right.
And the thing is, the guy says that he came up with the name in 96. So in 96, Rick's name is everywhere. I'm talking about globally, everywhere.
Yeah.
C-SPAN, congressional hearings, and then the guy says, I imagine it up in 96.
That's what he said. He has some cockamamie name, or cockamamie description for why he changed the name. But the bottom line is, you had that name first, and you were famous. So it seems like he would have to change it. If he's going to it's not his real name. So if he's going to change his name to something else, why would he change it into the name of a dude who's already famous? Who's like, I mean, if he's pretending that he changed it for some arbitrary reason. Like someone said something and I said, no, I'm Rick Ross, the boss. You know, like, oh, you didn't know there was Rick Ross. That's like calling yourself, you know, I'm going to be Mitt Romney.
And he's a professor, philosopher of gang and drug culture. You know, he says that he knows all the drug dealers and all the gang bangers and the whole, you know, the whole nature of the business.
Yeah, that's another sticky point.
But he didn't know.
But he didn't know about you.
He didn't know about me.
That's crazy.
Wikipedia did, though.
Yeah.
Noriega, Pablo Escobar,
yeah.
Rick Ross.
There was no Wikipedia in 96, unfortunately, though, right? That's when he. When did he start becoming famous for it?
The name. 07.
07?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's when we started to slide. We started falling apart. Last year, the Bush administration, motherfuckers are losing hope. They're like, this doesn't even make sense. He's like, fuck it, this can't last. I'm just going to call myself Rick Ross. And boom, cover of Rolling Stone, kid. That's weird. It's Rolling Stone.
I can't even get a story in there. You know,
they won't write a story about you?
No, they never wrote about me. I used to write Rolling Stone when I was in prison and try to get them to do a story about the drug war and what was going on and the whole nine. But it's so crazy, you know. It's like they don't like me, but
right,
he can go on with my name, with my story, and rap on Monday Night Football about selling drugs.
Did he rap on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, he opened for it.
Really? What did he do?
He did Triumphant with Mariah Carey.
Wow. And does he talk about selling drugs in that song?
I mean, that's all he talks about. I didn't hear him do the song, but I mean, everything he raps about is drugs. I mean,
really?
That's it.
Nah. Isn't that what people don't know is he used to be a corrections officer. Like, the story gets crazier and crazier. He's like a character in a Will Ferrell movie. He's like some nutty dude that like gets exposed that has been putting on this, like, it's not like he's putting on a hustle in 1980 when you had to go to the library to find out about people. You know, you're trying to put a hustle on in a this is a different time, man. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you know, our people were so, I don't know, man, so lost that it doesn't matter anymore. You know, you can come up and tell them anything and they go for it. And then once they discover that they've been lied to, they still, you know, kind of like just mosey right on along.
No, Rick, tell him how he said he came up with the how he decided to be a correctional officer in Rolling Stone.
They called him the Big Boss.
No,
right?
No.
That
was
I heard that
talking
one.
About in the article itself that you have in front
what
of you.
Say?
He says that he was eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with his friend. His friend got caught for selling dope, and the friend's father just tells him
his friend goes away for a long time.
His friend goes away for a long time. And the father walks up to him and says, you need to get a job. Become a correctional officer.
Yeah. Did you just explain this to me? Like, really recently you told me this?
No, it was in the Rolling Stone.
Right. But didn't you explain it to me recently, too? When was the last time I talked to you?
Before this came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
because I kind of remember that statement.
I mean, you think about it, and then you think about it from a level of your son just got arrested for cocaine sales.
The 10 first or 20 years.
The first thing you're going to say is to his friend is, go be his prison guard.
Jesus Christ. How crazy is that?
Keep him in jail.
Well, you know, they've done those studies. They did a study, I think it was at Stanford, where they did a prison guard study where they had students pretend to be prisoners and prison guards. And like almost immediately, the prison guards became abusive. Fake study. Kids. Wow. Just kids. I worked as a security guard at Great Woods. It was like a performance arts place in Mansfield, Massachusetts. It was like outside of Boston. It was like all the big concerts would come there, like Bon Jovi and shit. And I was a security guard there. And I'm not a big dude, you know. And so I was like, someone's going to fuck me up. This is ridiculous. You know, being in a position of security. Well, I mean, I'm just a security guard at a concert place. But I swear to God, within a couple of months of working there, you develop this us versus them mentality. You deal with enough drunken people, enough craziness, that dudes were hitting dudes that guys I'd never thought would hit somebody were hitting people.
What's that authority? When you get that authority over somebody and you feel that you have the whole system behind you and that you're right and you can't do wrong. You know? Matter of fact, a guy that was in custody while he was a guard had called me one day and told me that this guy was one of the worst guards that you could be. You know, if you had an extra soup, he would take it from you. An extra stamp. You know, you one stamp over. And he'd go running to the general. Oh, he had an extra stamp. You know, I'm like, what? I want to get a bunch of guys, you know, whenever I get a chance, I want to get a bunch of guys that was in jail with him and just get their stories and see.
And then the irony of it all is that you sit there and you're watching like the BET Awards and he's hollering out for all my guys locked up in prison.
Oh my God, all the people that I used to tell to shut the fuck up.
And then the guys in prison are crying, like, man, you got to stop that guy, man.
That's crazy.
Why are you guys letting him do that? Matter of fact, I was with somebody a couple days ago. And they were saying that this guy that he's been rapping about in his songs that's in prison is like, man, the guy messed my pill up. You know, I was on the pill and he got on a record and told him everything that I did.
Oh, no way. Oh, my God. He told his story through rapping? What an asshole.
Yeah, and
it's also, like, dude, even Rick Ross knows what he did. He fucked up his appeal? That's ridiculous.
Man, they said he did a documentary on the guys in Miami that were supposed to have been drug dealers. And, you know, and some of those guys are like, man, he should have never did that. He never got our permission. He never asked us.
Wow.
And
now those guys are exposed.
Exposed.
Did you hear that Griselda Blanco got assassinated the other day?
Yeah, I heard that.
You know who she is, huh? Of course. It's business. It's business. You know who all the key players are?
Yeah, yeah.
Griselda Blanco was the old lady in Cocaine Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That fucking... Oh, you weren't with me in Florida.
No.
Billy Corbin, the guy who's the director of it, came to one of the shows. Fucking cool guy.
The amazing thing that she stayed alive so long, you know, after... you know, going to war with Carlos Escobar.
She killed everybody. That chick is responsible for the deaths of who knows how many people. But they eventually got her somewhere.
But you know, that's what happens, though, when you start that black market on drugs or with anything. You know, you give that power and the ability to make so much money that it just corrupts people. I mean, you know, from all walks of life. I don't think nobody's immune to it.
And doesn't that work the same way with fame like this? I mean, it's very similar. Like, what's happening to him?
That's very
corrupting as well, right? It'll make you bullshit your way through a story in order to keep your money coming in.
I had to do a lot of research for this case, and I actually read an interesting article by his sister. It was an interview of his sister, and she said he's lost in this image.
Lost in
the
image.
He believes he's Rick Ross.
Wow.
Yeah, he does. I mean, even when we...
That's crazy.
We took his deposition down in Miami. It was the first time that me and him was face-to-face in a room together. And, I mean, he rolled his eyes. And he gave me a finger.
What? He gave you the finger? How long ago was this?
Oh, man, this was about 4 or 5 months ago at least.
That is ridiculous. So it's after you did this podcast?
Yeah, it was after we did the podcast.
That's hilarious. Time. He gave you the finger. What is he, 12? Who the fuck gives someone the finger? Have you ever done that? Like, fuck you, man.
but then
the only time you do this is when you're in your car and you got to go.
Yes, yeah, and then what's funny is you go after Krishan, who's like a little 5'4" white woman. It's like,
who did he go after? What did
Krishan,
the MTV. I don't know what that is.
Oh,
what
she's
happened?
Like an MTV V-host.
What happened?
And she said something like about Rick Ross, and then he was like claiming that he was going to be violent against her. And it's
really?
Like, but when the kingpin's in the room, it's kind of like...
Wow, he gave you the finger, though, huh?
Yeah.
That alone's a victory. When a grown man looks at you and you don't say shit to him and he has to give you the finger. Yeah. Like, come on, you silly bitch.
Yeah, but he's such a... I don't know. You know, his album flopped this time.
Did it? But he's on the cover of Rolling Stone.
But I don't think you can have a flopped album and still go on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Really?
If
I'm going to call my agent.
If you buy it. If you buy the cover, I think all this
you,
stuff.
Oh, you buy it.
I think you buy it now. It's not about being good or you know being successful. You know, it's about can you pay for it now?
It's amazing that today in 2012, this image that he's projecting of his underwear and then his pants like halfway buckled. Halfway down his underwear with his big fat belly hanging out. Like, well, what are we doing in 2012? We're fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny Rick talked about Rolling Stone because Spin Magazine did an article on Rick Freeway Rick that was on the cover all week this week. And
Spin did this?
Spin, he was on the cover.
Spin's a great magazine. Yeah. There's some great exposés in there.
And they did a piece on the rapper called Master of His Own Reality. And they talked about how he's taken the criminal black man image and just perpetuating it and just using it to sell an image of himself that isn't true because he came from a good home.
Right. So he's basically like a character. He's doing like totally. An Andrew Dice Clay totally. Character.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he's doing a pure character. I think he's doing a copy of Rick, and I think that he's doing a copy based on.
Well, he's way fatter than you. Like he's not trying. He's not trying to look like you at all. Uh-huh. But what is it? I mean, you're not covered with tattoos. He's covered with tattoos.
We say I look like I'm on crack. So
you look like a healthy man. You look like a guy who's probably going to live to be 100 years old. It's people that are really big and fat that are fucked, man. That your heart is pushing extra hard for that shit, son. How much cardio are you doing?
Yeah, well, you know when you you know? when you got those people behind you, you know, with that money, they put some money in your pocket, and then yeah. you feel like you're going to live forever. You know, if money will keep me alive, then I'm good.
Well, that certainly would happen to a lot of these guys. But it's also, I think, he's kind of stuck with what got him to the dance, and that's just bullshitting. He's just going to bullshit until he slides into a wall. You know what I mean? He's just going to keep going. While he's in motion, he's just going to keep bullshitting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
why would he tell the truth? He's not going to say, listen, here's the deal, man.
Well, you know, I wonder how come when the guy goes on radio stations and the host, you know, they never, you know, because I heard him on a couple of radio stations, they never ask him, man, why did you take this guy's name, and
well,
why don't you?
He's a big guy. He kind of mad dogs people. I've seen him mad dog some people that have tried to ask him some things about you, and he gets real loud about. And he's, you know, it's uncomfortable to be around a dude that big who's pissed off. You know.
Yeah.
Big, the only thing I will say to you, dangerous Joe, is guy. That I think we've been doing like a viral campaign of truth, and if you read the Rolling Stone article. He spends a lot of time talking about things that are uncomfortable for him. Correctional officer, playing football, things that he's never talked about.
I totally didn't even plan on reading this shit. Yeah. I just got it, and I said I have to bring it in because I knew that Rick was coming in.
he talks about playing football, and we believe it's because we brought up the fact that when we called the school, they didn't have a record of him playing football.
And look at this here.
So he never played football either?
Check this out.
Wait, let me just
go ahead, go ahead.
I mean, we reached out to athletic director, and they said that they don't have him on the roster. So for the whole 90s, they don't have a William Roberts. So,
nothing.
I mean, I would love to see the roster in a picture.
I'll tell you lied about that, too. Why would that be surprising?
Check this
right?
here out. Have you ever heard of an All-American football player without one picture with a uniform on?
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
How possible is that? I think it's impossible.
He's an All-American.
To be an All-American.
It seems like
player.
They take a lot of pictures of those guys.
Man. But not have one picture anywhere in
but
the world.
But how old is he supposed to be? Is he supposed to be like 40? How old is he? 35?
He graduated 96.
He graduated 96. So he's about 37? Is that what that is?
Yeah. 36? Maybe.
He seems like he's fucking crazy is what he seems like. He seems like he's just some dude who figured out a good hustle, and he's just riding it.
Yeah, he is. But he's definitely crazy. I mean, you know, they just spent $1.3 million fighting me in court to keep my name.
Really?
That's what they said they paid attorneys.
Now, how did you – what did you do to defend yourself? Did you defend yourself on your own? Because you know a lot about law.
Yeah, but I had good attorneys with me.
You brought him as well.
We have a firm, Yossi and Nessie, that's been helping us, and then myself, a lot of research. You know, really this thing is going to come down to whether or not he starts to understand that we're not going away.
So they essentially try to, like, spend so much money that they sort of drowned you in, like,
oh,
bullshit.
Oh, they did. They worked the hell out of my attorneys.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a couple... What, like 3 months straight we was in depositions every day?
Yeah. Wow. How is this? What a crazy world we live in. How could that even take 3 months? How could that take?
They got 9 attorneys.
But that's amazing, isn't it? If you really stop and think about the absurdity of that, that they would spend months on that. They would spend months on, this is his name. No, that's his name. Well, you okay, that's it. We're done here. Yeah. It seems like that would take 3 seconds. It just shows you how mad we are.
Well,
we're like a mad culture.
You know, you would think that with this guy, that once they sent him a bill for $200,000, he would say, well, what's going on here? But then, they sent him a bill for $500,000, and he still doesn't say what's going on here. Then they sent him a bill for $600,000. He still doesn't. We up to $1.3 million, and this guy haven't said, hey, you know what? Let's sit down and talk about selling this case. You know,
it seems like he could have just given you that money.
Or for that
And
matter,
then change his name.
Yeah, we got a foundation, Freeway Literacy Foundation. You know, have him be part of that.
How much would he? Would you take that and then just drop everything? No.
I like to laugh.
All right. How much would it cost to let him use your name?
We don't have a license fee.
There's no license fee.
Yeah.
Okay, so essentially, say let's say the dude loses in court, but he wants to continue to call himself Rick Ross. And plus, I guess he has to compensate you for the use of it.
If he loses in court, he can forget it.
Really?
If he wins in court, then...
Like, where are you at right now? How many times have you guys been before a judge?
Wait, say that one more time.
How many times have you guys been before a judge? How many times have there... Should I say, have there been rulings?
There's been... Really, like two rulings.
Two rulings.
Three rulings.
What'd they say?
And what essentially happened was Freeway Rick decided to go to federal court. And when he went to federal court, it's not the best place because California has so much better protections for, I guess you could say, personality rights, name rights. So, you know, federal court said, go take it to California. We want to, there's a better place to hear it there. Came to California, and first we sued Universal because Universal is the home of Def Jam. The judge said Rick was late in filing against Universal, but Warner Brothers did a new deal with the rapper William Roberts Rose last year, and as a result, we're not.
Now that's him as well. This Rose is him.
Rose is the same person.
Why does he have a bunch of different names?
Maybe I don't know.
Well, after we filed a suit, he changed it from Rick Ross to Rick Rose.
No, he didn't change it.
He used both, but still,
the thing is, so much value has been put in. Let me start off by saying there's a video of Lior Cohen, the president of Warner, talking about a fast-forward
His
model.
His name is Lior?
Lior, L-Y-O-R. And he talks about something called a fast-forward model. They don't want to develop artists anymore. So essentially, they try to fast-forward them. And what essentially happened, we believe, is that the labels looked at the fact that this Rick Ross was untapped, and they realized we could just put an artist out, and there's already, like,
a name, yeah. And so he said that the name came out from him in 96, but it really was like 2007 when he started working.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a crazy case, man. I don't know what it would be like walking around where there's another man who has my name.
Oh, man, it's awful. People call you and to book you, and they don't know if you him or you, you know. It's,
wow.
It's confusion.
It's fucking weird.
But at the same time, it's... You know, I just want him to stop. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, why you got to take my name? You know, I built this name. And he had some crazy, he was with Funkmaster Flex, and they said some crazy stuff like, I should be happy that he kept me alive. And even with that, if the guy would come out and admit that he took the name, would be a little more comforting. You know, but when you sit here and lie to me, you know, it just makes it where I'm like, you know, man, this guy here is totally full of.
So are you in appeal right now? Like, where do you stand?
We're actually in process of deposing possibly Lior Cohen and Sean Combs. We're moving forward with trial against Warner Brothers. The judge ruled in our favor as far as Warner Brothers cannot take a statute of limitations out to get out of the case. And so we're moving forward against Warner Brothers to trial.
Wow. Whoa, that's crazy.
Now, what I will say is that there's two fundamental differences with what Rick Ross has done with Freeway Rick versus 50 Cent or Jay-Z with Jazzo, and the first being that this is his birth name. You know, when you take somebody's birth name, especially somebody like Rick, you essentially can create confusion when you walk in the room because it's not a nickname. They're not going to clear it up. They're going to be like, how many people walk in the room and say, I'm Stanley Roberts? And that's just not their name.
Right.
So, and the second thing is that Rick's name.
Let's explain what you meant by that, though, because a lot of people don't know what you meant by Jay-Z and Jazzo.
Yeah.
Jazzo was a famous, like, neighborhood rapper.
Neighborhood guy.
Where Jay-Z lived. And then Jay-Z became Jay-Z. And it's sort of, he kind of, like, copied that dude's name.
Yeah, 50 Cent is, there was a bank robber. But these are, like, neighborhood names. And, like, Rick's name was in Time Magazine.
Yeah.
You know, Rick Ross was in Time Magazine in 2001, the name. You know, it was a congressional hearings, Dateline. This isn't a name that needed to be built up. So when Rick gets out, he's getting approached by Nick Cassavetti, Ari Emanuel, Jeff Berg, the top people in Hollywood. He doesn't need the rapper to build his name up.
It's just also crazy because you know that he says that he's an expert on the culture.
Absolutely.
So it's insanity.
No, there's articles. There's an article. Look, there's an article where he says in 06, this is the rapper, Show and Prove, XXL, he says, it's rumored that the guy started the Crips. Then you come out with the song with Jay-Z and Dre, Three Kings, where he says, my cousin was a Crip, heard it was a seat thing. It's like, come on, man. I mean, how much you going to do to copy the man's life? I mean, there are no, I don't think there's many Crips walking around Florida.
Wow. So strange. It's a strange, strange thing to, like, lock onto that. I wonder what his mindset is. I wonder if he just feels like he's got something successful and fucking, why mess with what's good? You know, I'm just going to keep driving it until the wheels fall off.
Yeah, well, you know, but I mean, any rational person would come and say, you know what, I've done good off of this person. You know, they've helped me get here. Let me go to the table and square this up.
Uh-huh.
You know, let me make right what I made wrong, because by right he should have came to me and said something to me from the beginning.
Right.
Had I not been in jail, he never would have done this.
Right.
You know, he never would have came and took my name had I not been in jail and been under the restraints that I was under.
But, and for folks who don't know, we talked about this in the last time you were here, but for folks who don't know, he thought you were in jail for life, but you, because of reading different legal arguments in jail, you realized that the three strikes rule did not apply to your case because two of the things were consecutive. Is
exactly.
that correct? Yeah. So,
Concurrent.
Excuse me. Concurrent. So he thought, like a lot of people did, that you were in jail for life. That was what it was supposed to be.
Him and the labels.
Yeah.
Well, it was all in the newspaper that I had a life sentence.
So it's like if you tried to call yourself John Gotti, you know, he's dead. You know, you could get away with it.
Well,
he's,
I mean, why would I want to be? I mean, why would I want to be John Gotti?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Aren't you proud to be who you are? You know, can't you be yourself? I mean, you're never gonna make your family's name. I mean,
it's very silly.
All I ever wanted in life was to take my name and put my name in lights, not me go out and put Joe Rogan. I mean, what does that do for me? You know, how does that satisfy my crave and my need?
He's actually a second. That's what's all right.
Well, maybe he just thinks that's the only way he could do it. I mean, he thinks that there was like, you know, what's the difference between him and a lot of other rappers?
I mean, but accomplishing something, though, for me, accomplishing something mean that you actually go out and accomplish something. Not where, I mean, you know, if you cheat and get it,
yeah.
Did you really accomplish it?
No, I agree with you. I think anyone rational agrees with you. But there's people that feel like they can't make it without cheating. They can't make it without stealing. They can't make it without lying. They can't do it, so they just do it. And that's what they do. That's the normal go-to mode is to be full of shit. And then just exist that way. That's a lot of people, man. That's what it's just. There's
and that's one of the reasons I think that our country is in such bad shape right now, because we're in a mode of fake it till you make it.
Yeah,
you know, and if you don't make it, keep faking it.
I got a whole bit of my act I'm doing now. We're trying to explain Kim Kardashian to an alien. You know, it's like you look at how ridiculous our culture like really is now. Try explaining Snooki to someone from another planet. Try explaining this Rick Ross thing. You would go crazy.
And then the other part of it is just to realize, you know, when you say Rick Ross, you're talking about the Iran-Contra scandal and really important part of American history.
Right, yeah.
And for him to come out and do that, he dilutes, he confuses the story, so it kind of hurts the product in a lot of ways.
It hurts history.
Yes.
Yeah, it's confusing to people. You know, you're clouding it out. And then if someone goes back and reads Rick Ross, like, what is this? What is this guy? Who is this? Iran-Contra. What the fuck is he? With the rapper?
CIA.
Is that the rapper?
Yeah.
And then it's just, what, do they have the same name? Like, there's some dudes who are born, the name is Ray Charles. Like, good fucking luck with that. That's retarded. You got to change your fucking name. There's already a Ray Charles, man. You can't, you know what I mean?
But that's one thing if your mom named you that.
Yeah, but you got to change it.
You name yourself?
You got to come up with a nickname. You know, it's ridiculous.
You go out and name yourself today. Now, that's really ridiculous.
It's so stupid. Can you imagine if you were a young basketball player and you tried to call yourself Michael Jordan? Not Michael Jordan. What the fuck are you talking about, man? There's already a Michael Jordan. Like, people are crazy. This is just more evidence that we're completely losing our minds.
No, but the thing you got to realize is, what about if it's on purpose? Because you want to walk in that room and get that interest.
Well, I think he probably started it out when he didn't have as much of an understanding of how quick information transfers. But it seems to have worked enough that he's on the cover of Rolling Stone with all these fucking diamonds. So there had to be some benefit to it for him.
Oh, absolutely.
He's covered in diamonds.
Absolutely. Well, he knew that basically in the streets, you know, because I basically hid from people, you know, people didn't see me, they didn't get to know me, so nobody really knew what I looked like. So when he came out, they just had heard the name. The name was ingrained in people's mind, and people just gravitated to the name. You know, I had
in almost in an abstract way, without even really remembering the case. It was almost like, do you know Mayor, what's his name, Noriega. Do you know what Noriega actually did? Most people don't. Yeah. But that name, Noriega.
It sticks. Yeah, you know it's a name because it's been out there so many times. You heard it.
He's actually counting on people to not know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how he's benefiting right now because people still don't know. Because people are starting to, matter of fact, we did a photo shoot a couple weeks ago from a guy. Where was he from, London?
He's from the Netherlands.
From Netherlands. And he was saying when he came over there, they booed him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they actually booed him on the stage.
Because they know what's up. When was this? How long ago was this?
Maybe about a month ago.
Oh, shit.
But you know, they're not
our podcast has legs in Netherlands.
But you know, they're not going to put that on the news.
Yeah, of course not, man.
Well, that won't make the cover of Rolling Stones.
This what you're doing now is coming on podcasts and putting shit in. I've seen a lot of your other interviews that you've got online. And, you know, you are spelling it out calmly, rationally, non-emotionally. You know, you're just spelling it out, and you're saying the same fucking thing every time. And then you see when people try to corner him on it, it's like this weird, awkward, mad dog moment where it just kind of gets loud. That, well, you know, we're not about all that. You know, moving on to something else now.
Tell him about Rude Jew.
We're about money.
Tell him about Rude Jew.
Oh, Rude Jew said he asked him about the price of an ounce.
Oh, and he said,
what did he say? This is before, though. This is this is like 07, 08.
Yeah, when he was... Rude Jude said he asked him about the price of an ounce of cocaine, and he was, what did he say?
He got real huffy.
Yeah, he said the guy didn't know the price, and Rude said he didn't really know, because Rude said, I don't know about no cocaine, so.
But just fuck with him and see what's
I'm
up.
I'm just asking.
No, he wasn't, he thought that he really knew.
He thought that he was really me.
Right.
At that time, you know. Right. So
he expected him to give you an answer. You know, somebody come in and say they think they're a butcher, you're going to ask them about me.
You know, if somebody asked me, man, what was the ounce of cocaine going for? I could just, you know, just right off the top of the head because I lived it. You know, I was there. But, you know, somebody who hasn't done it, then you know, it's total off to him. So.
So he got caught quick. That was a pretty easy
question.
I'm sure
that he can get caught more often. But, you know, right now, I mean, media is not media anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's not about... reporting the truth. That's why it's so good that, you know, people like you are doing the podcast and the internet, you know, because right now with the mainstream media, man, they're all bought and paid
for. It's done, isn't it? CNN can go suck it.
Yeah.
They're done. They're all done.
I mean, if you listen to the radio, you're going to hear 10 songs over and over again. You know, the same 10 songs over and over again. So
the shocking thing, though, is the news. The news really is shocking. There's a lot of shit that just doesn't get described. And the way it's explained is like it's very off. Like try getting the real scoop on WikiLeaks from watching the news. You don't know what the fuck is going on.
And they don't give us BBC.
Yeah.
BBC is like some good news.
BBC's great. You know what's also great? Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is pretty honest news. You know, there's people in other countries that still look at the news and they look at journalism like they have an obligation to show the uncomfortable truth.
And that's why I think that Brandon Soderberg, the guy at Spin Magazine, shout out to him because he did a really good job of getting this piece out. And what's funny, he puts it in Spin Magazine, makes the cover. We didn't know it was going to be on the cover.
Right.
And then the next morning, Costa Rica Times runs it, of all places.
Ugh.
The Costa Rica Times.
Wow. Yeah, in other countries, they can still tell the news, as long as it's not about drug dealers that are local. But you can tell the news about other shit. You know, it's a sad statement to where how far we've fallen as a country that you just watch propaganda on TV.
Well, they want the people to be dumb, you know? If the people are dumb and you know, just following what they say follow, then, you know, it's easy for them to control what's going on, you know?
Well, it's this Mitt Romney guy is terrifying. This Mitt Romney guy is not even a real human being. It's the strangest thing.
He seems
to
like
that
he's from the
50s. Yeah, man.
Like straight out of the 50s. You know, like those old DAs.
Father knows best.
The DA.
Yeah. What are you kids doing today? You're not getting into any trouble, are you?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like a real human. He sat down with some guy who was a gay Vietnam veteran, and the guy asked him about gay rights. And he probably didn't think the dude was a veteran, and that, you know, it just said he wasn't into like gay people being married, and then the guy just trashed him after he left. It was great. It was beautiful, but it was awkward watching Mitt Romney communicate with him. He's just so awkward, dude. It's like when you hear see him talking to somebody, it's like, do you interact with anybody? Like, who are you interacting with?
Yeah.
Like, he's like in some fucking silver room, you know, counting diamonds. And he occasionally has one of his minions will come in and ask questions. I mean, this guy's like, he was really, really, really rich. Like, $100 million rich. He's a fucking stupid rich guy. So he's awkward talking to, like, regular folks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when was the last time he's been, like, a regular dude, like, you know, out there going to Subway, you know, buying a sandwich and shit? You know, he's an odd duck.
And, you know, that's what we need. We need some regular people, people who are out here dealing with real-life situations that know, you know, that gas, it costs money, you yeah. know? It's like a lot of times these people don't understand that we have real problems out here on the streets, you know, that there's people that have to ride the bus and... The funny thing
also was to watch the difference between the two conventions. Like, when you watched the Republican convention, it was awkward. You heard about what they did to the reporter? The CNN reporter?
No.
They threw peanuts at her and called her an animal.
What?
Yeah, black CNN reporter.
What?
Yeah.
Is it on camera?
I don't know if it's on camera, but it was everywhere. It was everywhere in the news.
Holy shit. I vaguely remember skimming through something like that, but I had to run out the door and I never
CNN reporter, peanuts. So when you say it's awkward, you just look at the Democratic like platform and the Democratic convention. It was like all accepting.
Yeah, that's a... Wow, CNN camerawoman had nuts thrown at her at the GOP. Whoa. That's insane.
Absolutely insane.
Well, you know, Antonio is like a encyclopedia, you know, if something happens, he knows about it.
Yeah, well, that's pretty intense.
It keeps me.
That's the only saving grace of the Liberal Party is that they're much more for equality, whether it's sexual equality, racial equality. The problem is when they start doing the same shit with corporations, they start accepting giant amounts of money, and then they're both basically beholden to the same people at the top. But you benefit socially when Democrats are in. You know,
that's our whole system right now. Everybody's been paid for, you know, by big corporations.
It's staggering. It really is staggering when you stop and think about it, that, you know, you look at the amount of money that's donated to campaigns and you look at some of the things that people have said that they would do before they got in the office. And then you find out what they're really going to do. It's like they don't really have a say. You know, I mean, Obama, if you could get Obama and he could do whatever the fuck he wanted to and everybody just had to listen. Do you think he would run things this way? I say no fucking way. I say there's an idealistic young college student inside that guy's head. He's too close to that. He's too young. Too young, too smart, too articulate. You got to know that at one point in time there was a dude who was, you know, kicking back, who was hoping for a better world. Now here he is, finger on the trigger, and he can't get nothing done. That's when you know. When you
maybe
get
his finger isn't on the trigger.
Yeah, he can't. He can't put it on the trigger. Yeah. He can't really. He doesn't
see it.
I don't think they have a say. I think it's just like being a sitcom character. I think you get in there and then they tell you what the fuck you're gonna do. And you it's not one person pulling the shots. I think that's why they killed JFK. He tried to get crazy. You know, JFK just decided to say, listen, I'm going to fix things. I'm going to run things the right way. I'm going to get rid of this federal bank. I'm going to do that. And they were like, what?
You out of here.
Get in that fucking car, stupid.
We're going to get rid of you.
Yeah, you're not doing it. This is a money grab. This is not, you know, it's not really all about running the country. It's about making a fuckload of money and running the country while you make a fuckload of money.
But you know what? They got to understand that. If the money doesn't trickle down to the normal people, if the normal people keep living in the conditions that they're living in, that revolution is going to come. You know, I mean, they seen it happen in all these other countries, you know, which they help.
Well, that's why they keep passing these new laws. That's what all these National Defense Authorization Act and the ability to impound people without having to give them due legal process, all that stuff that they're doing right now and passing through law is to just prepare for civil unrest. Prepare to do things legally because somebody wrote it on paper, something that's absolutely immoral. So that's what they're preparing to do. They're preparing to do everything the same way Bahrain is doing it, the same way Saudi Arabia is doing it. I mean, it's we have to look at all these places like Egypt and Libya. You have to look at that and go, worst case scenario, someone could go fucking crazy here too.
I got this crazy, crazy email. And it had a PDF in there, and it was from Citibank, and it was about it was a PDF that only was sent to the elite clients, and it was basically telling them how to manage their money in amidst chaos because chaos is coming. It's a specific name for it. I have to look at my emails. But it was just talking about like the percentage chances of this happening or that happening.
What the fuck? That's just so, it's so hard to wrap your head around the fact that that might be our future. Like that every culture, you know, since the, look, go to the Roman Empire and go look at all those broken down buildings. How come they never kept up those buildings? How come people didn't keep living in them? How come we, because the whole thing fell apart.
Yeah.
There was nothing left. I mean, the whole thing just shattered into the rocks and it had to rebuild itself with time. And that keeps happening over and over again to people. We get to this point where we get super greedy and we have a lot of money and a lot of resources and the people at the top just hoard over that shit and then, boom, it hits the rocks.
Yeah. You know, like 100 million is going to be less if you lose $5 million or $200 million. You know, you're not living any better. You know, you can't. There's only so many cars you can drive and so many houses you can live in.
They say after $40 million that your life never changes.
Well, I think what happens, though, is that people get crazy and then it becomes like a mad game to them. And they can never have enough chips. You know, they just want to keep. I know people that are rich that still get fucking jazzed up about making money. They still get fired up about it. I don't understand it. You know, like, wouldn't you want to, like, if you were Bill Gates, wouldn't you want to just chill? I mean, there's no way you're going to spend all that money. But for him, he's got this empire thing in his head. He gets off on controlling, you know, all these different operating systems, you know, having all these computers, all having this giant market share, you know, conquering and moving forward and creating new technology and creating new, you know, Xboxes and shit. Like, the dude's still pushing it. It's amazing. You know, those guys get addicted. He could retire 100 people. He's got billions of dollars, man. But that's assuming that money's going to be worth anything. You know, I mean, try to get a hold of some Roman money. What's that shit worth today?
If it's gold.
Yeah, if it's gold.
It's worth a lot.
Isn't that fucked up that back then when they didn't have anything, man? I mean, there was no cars, there's no TV. People still agreed on gold. Like, you can get me some of that shiny yellow shit.
Gold or the white lines.
Yeah. Well, back then it was probably it was probably poppy seeds and shit and poppy plants.
And the leaves.
Yeah.
They've been chewing those leaves for years.
Oh, the coca leaves, yeah. Well, which is a really healthy way to do it, they say. For high-altitude people in Peru, you say Peru if you want to impress a chick. You know how to say it right? When you're in Peru. White guys that talk like with authentic Spanish accents are annoying as fuck. But anyway, you get a hold of those coca leaves and you chew it, and apparently it's better than coffee.
Yeah.
And just as healthy. And it actually gives you, like, alkaloids, and it gives you some minerals and shit, and phytonutrients from eating the plants, the leaves, like, chewing it up. So it really is, like, not bad for you. It's just when you turn it into cocaine.
Yeah.
That's when shit gets freaky.
The person who found that out.
Yeah, who's that asshole? Started this whole fucking problem. You could have just been a coca leaf dealer and everybody would be fine. If it was legal, see, people don't understand. If coca leaves were legal, we really would have no problem. As long as nobody processed that and turned that shit into cocaine, it's a great thing to have. You can make tea out of it. It gives you a lot of energy. You can chew the leaves.
Or even if they had dispensaries back then.
Yeah. Hey, coca leaves dispensaries. If they had a weed dispensary, would you have gone into that?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? That's absolutely the way to do it, right? Yeah, that's everybody's going to be fine that way. It's when you get robbed by non-weed smoking people. When they know that you got money and weed there. The real problem is getting
robbed. Rob you and put you in jail. That's the bad part.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, we're going to take your money, your weed, and put you in jail.
That's what a lot of people don't realize, is that happens a lot. When they rob you, they take your money. The cops come, they steal all the plants, and they take all your money. And they don't ever have to give it back. It's like you're never going to get that shit back. You go through court. Good luck. You ain't getting your fucking weed back. You ain't getting your money back. Stop it. You know? It doesn't matter if it's legal. It's not federally illegal. So they just challenge it on a federal level, and you got to drop it.
That's crazy. But, you know, when the people can't
decide for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, wow. I mean, if the people vote to make something legal, I mean, I think it should be legal.
It's the same thing like this fake Rick Ross guy. There's a transparency of the information. It's so obvious. It doesn't make sense that it's still around. It's just one more piece of evidence that shows how crazy we are. The marijuana one, it's not like there's nothing that can get you fucked up. It's not like marijuana is the only thing that we've ever had that gets you fucked up. You know, and then people would be like, man, maybe we shouldn't really be messing with our normal state of consciousness because everything seems to be going smooth as long as people are sober. But there's a lot of shit that can get you fucked up everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Every CVS you go into, you could die.
Yeah. And then you come back to you know, what you said about the transparency of Rick Ross.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to look at this.
Yeah.
You got to have a school.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it School A. They'll say, we don't want the drug dealer coming in talking about literacy. The former drug dealer, let me say that.
Right. Was that what he does?
No.
He gives talks?
No, hold on. I said they don't want Freeway Rick coming in talking about literacy.
Okay, right.
But then turn around and authorize Rick Ross to come in and do hustling,
yeah.
which is about drugs. Isn't that, I mean, it makes no sense.
Well, you didn't even learn how to read until you went to jail, right?
Yeah, I was 28 years old when I learned how to read.
Wow. That's incredible, man. Your story is so... What I've always said is that the number one problem that we have in this country is that people are not caring how young people that aren't theirs are growing up. And you got to look at young people as like the number one piece of potential. Like if there's anything that has potential, it's a human being. And you have human beings that grow up with no future and no fucking chance and no hope and no nothing and no education and no love. We're just making a shitty person. Like that's it's almost like you got to find out where we're bleeding. If we're an organism,
a shitty society.
Yes, a shitty society.
Because that one person is going to bleed on somebody else.
It's going to create a ripple effect. It's like we got to find out where we're wounded. Where are we wounded? Well, find that spot. Whatever that spot is culturally. Where is the most amount of crime? Where's the most amount of despair? Where's the least amount of love? That needs to be patched up. And until they patch that shit up, we're never going to figure this out. You're always going to have craziness that makes no sense, like this fake Rick Ross character, or like marijuana being illegal, or like Mitt Romney. We're insane. Snooki, we're insane. we're an insane culture. We've never been more insane as a culture. I mean, I think shit was probably insane back in the Elvis days. Shit was probably insane when the Osmond brothers were huge, okay? But we've never been this insane.
Technology kind of does that. I mean, when you think about the exposure element of it all.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about my grandmother. My grandmother grew up in a town where she saw the same people every day.
Yeah, which
is
great.
We see all new people every day, and you can be who you want to be.
It's great if your town's full of awesome people. You know, I've always said that the thing that we should do is organize a place where you could go and everybody's awesome. Like, everybody decide to buy a house in this one spot.
But that's a bar. Cheers.
Yeah, you don't want a bar. You want a neighborhood. You want a whole neighborhood full of your friends. But that's hard to do, man. We have cars, so we fuck it up. We don't have, like, a neighborhood tribe anymore. Like, it used to be that you would live around only the people that you knew. Like, okay, Mike, I'm going to make my house right here. You want to make your house right there? We're good. If you hear a bear, wake me up. You know? But now it's like, why would I have a house near you when I can just drive to your house? I mean, Brian's house is fucking half an hour away from me. I don't drive to his house. You know, Joey's house is 10 minutes this way, and Eddie's house is over here. I don't drive to anybody's house.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like they're all in your neighborhood and you go knock on their door. You know,
right.
It's not like you're all together in a little tribe. So we're all dysfunctional because we have these giant groups that you would think, oh, these motherfuckers all know each other. This is a giant group of 20 million people living in L.A. But no, nobody knows anybody. You don't know anybody anywhere near you.
Yeah.
You're constantly surrounded by strangers. It's the weirdest thing ever.
And people are really shitty now. Have you tried to pull over, like change lanes on the freeway, on the street, and the guy next to you speeds up, and he's going just fast enough to keep you from getting over. And I'm like, damn, buddy, what was it going to give you, 10 seconds? You get there 10 seconds later?
But that's the whole thing that comes out of not knowing everybody.
Yeah.
Because essentially you don't have to be responsible.
Yeah.
Today I might meet you, never see you again, so I can be whoever I want to be to you. And then tomorrow I'm going to see all new people.
That is true. That is true. And that's not good necessarily. But the other hand is you get exposure to a lot of different kinds of people, so you get a pretty broad sense of what's possible when you think about like meeting human beings, you know, where a regular person might not get such a crazy view of people.
Not if they all watching Kim Kardashian.
That's true. If you just go to the same spot every day for lunch.
Same Hollywood club.
Wait for famous people to walk in. Who's that? Is that her?
Snooki.
It's Snooki. Oh, that fat
bitch. I never crossed the 10 freeway.
What's her son's name? Guido?
Is that what his name?
Guido and Snooki.
God. Is that his name?
Is that real?
Did you just make that up?
I think his name is Guido.
Snooki. Brian, please look that up.
I know it's a hairy baby. I heard that.
It's a hairy baby?
Yeah.
Nookie's baby.
It probably is going to turn out it's just all snatch hair that fell off during the birth and just stuck to his head. You can't clean them off. You just scrub all day. Those fucking hairs are glued into his head.
Oh, it's Lorenzo.
Dried Snooki snatch juice. It's better than Gorilla Glue. Could you imagine, man? You're going to wake up and be fucking 4 years old and you go, wait a minute, Mom, what do you do? What do you do? You're that chick from that show? Oh, shit. Imagine being like 5 year old watching Jersey Shore and that's your mom and she gets punched in the face by some dude at a bar. Did you ever see her get punched in the face? She got punched in the face, man, by a teacher.
Wow.
You know you're an annoying cunt when a teacher is at a bar and he punches you in the face.
No, imagine being 30 and showing it to your son. Here's your grandma.
And by the way, the guy who punched her is like a teacher and an MMA fighter.
Oh,
and she was like saying something to her, and she just punched her right in the face on TV.
Yeah.
Like, what? First of all, what a piece of shit that dude is. Like, this, if he didn't know a camera was there, like, he didn't know. He was just hammered. He had no idea.
Well, I know they rushed him to jail.
Oh, fuck yeah. Of course they did.
With the quickness. Yeah. Salt.
Dude, he cracked her, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, they charged him assault with a deadly weapon.
Well, no, because he didn't hit her with anything. So I think it's just assault.
His fist. They must charge him. If you're an MMA fighter.
Look at that.
Yeah, but I don't think.
Bam.
Oh, you got it? I don't think it matters, man. People think that it matters. Like, oh, man, your hands are deadly weapons. No, but you know what does matter, man? Shoes. Shoes are weapons. You got it, Brian? You pulling it up?
Oh.
Is that what you're doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see it. Here.
Watch this shit. Yeah, this is it. Watch this shit.
Oh!
That dude cracked her.
Wait, one more time. It's kind of a slap punch.
Oh, no, that please. Wasn't. That was a punch, man. It just wasn't good.
It was a slap
He was
punch.
An MMA fighter, but I bet he got his ass kicked a lot. You
know. Well, he won that one.
He probably got paid a lot of money to punch her.
Wow. You think he did? Do you think they paid him to punch her?
That whole, fake? I do know that show is completely fucking like 99% fake.
I didn't even think of that.
I don't know about a punch, though.
Because that's pretty fucking real, right? That seemed like you really did hit her.
Yeah.
It did seem like he did.
Yeah.
But and you know, they can fake them.
Those motherfuckers.
Got us again.
I had a fake punch a dude once and I accidentally hit him. It was like a fake bar fight in a sitcom. And I accidentally hit the dude. Yeah, but I think like sometimes like in those fight scenes, like dudes get really fucked up. Like didn't Sylvester Stallone, he broke his fucking neck at like 60 years old filming a fight scene. Apparently his neck is fused with a plate.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, tell him about the beard that you heard. You remember? About
William Roberts' beard is fake.
His beard is
fake. Oh, they got online where they show you how they fix his beard up.
Oh, how they make it thicker or something?
Yeah, well, you know his beard is he can't grow facial hairs.
What?
No, so
come on.
They take a piece of carpet and
get the fuck out of here. Now you're just making shit up.
No, for real. Showed it to me. No, they showed it to me online. A girl was like, "Hey, go right here and you can see how they fix his beard. His beard is not real. It's a piece of carpet."
What?
Because she made a good point. She was like, "Rick, how long you been growing your beard?" I said, "Oh, since I was 18." She said, "Well, you got holes in your beard." I said, "Yeah, I always trying to get those filled in, and they never fill in." She said, "Well, look at his; he don't have any holes anywhere." She said, "Isn't it perfect?"
Yeah, but Brian grows a beard. You don't have holes in your beard. Your shit grows pretty thick. I can grow a pretty thick beard too, man.
Well, they got it online where you can see the guy fix it up.
You can see like him glue it down and shit.
Yeah, the whole thing.
That's crazy.
That doesn't
make any sense. Do you think the tattoos are real? Imagine if that shit's real. It's fake. If the tattoos are fake. Like you catch him in the shower, it's all running.
Can he take the Rick Ross off his knuckles?
That's bizarre, huh?
Huh?
He's got your name on his knuckles.
Man. No, and then he says he doesn't know you. I don't know you.
So strange.
Oh wow! And
then he gives you the finger. Wow.
Yeah. So you know, we going around now. You know, basically just trying to. Trying to do what we just talked about, you know, educating the kids on becoming critical thinkers and letting them know that eventually we're going to have to take the power back into our own hands or, you know, be led to slaughter.
Right. We have a nonprofit now, too, freewayliteracy.org. You know, Freeway Literacy Foundation, been talking to a couple of celebrities about getting involved, being on the board. And it's about, of course, literacy in regard to reading, but also leadership literacy and financial literacy. Because now, coming back to our point in this whole like podcast, a lot of people can read and write. But the question is, what are you reading and writing? DNC was on last night. And if you was watching Snooki over the DNC and you went to college, you got problems.
Yeah. You know, I watched a very convincing video today by this guy. I think his name is Stefan Molyneux. He's a philosopher from Canada. But he had a very convincing argument on why you shouldn't vote. He was like, it's fucking bullshit. It's like you're contributing to a game by pretending it's real. And essentially, you're giving in to this fucking shell game and rooting on this fake leader, and then it's not real. Like, this whole system's been bought. And he had a very convincing argument. You know, so watching a DNC might be like watching a pro wrestling event before SummerSlam. You know, might get you all fired up, but really, what the fuck is going on behind the scenes? It ain't Bill Clinton telling you how much better you are. You know, Bill Clinton's just trying to win so he gets his dick sucked again. He just wants to get up there and say something dope as fuck. So he comes off and he's in a cocktail party, and next thing, some chick is sucking his dick.
I was just reading an article to Rick about Bill and just, you know, exposing that whole Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. I mean, he said everybody's going to get a house.
Well, yeah.
Some people can't have a house.
Yeah, some people can't afford a fucking house. And also the strange death of Vince Foster. You know, he was involved. People forget. He was involved with some giant real estate scandal. And Clinton and his wife. And then there was a dude named Vince Foster who was, I forget what he did. I forget his whole deal. But
I remember that in Arkansas.
Yeah, he was a big part of this whole case, I believe. And he turned up dead.
And the lady went to jail.
Yeah, with the gun still in his hand. It's like, yeah.
I think his wife went to jail for contempt of court. She wouldn't, testify.
It's probably a good move on her part.
Well, you know, the good thing about me is they don't allow me to register to vote anyway, so I don't have a choice.
Yeah, at this point, you're probably better off that way. It sounds ridiculous, but this Stefan Molyneux guy had a very interesting take on it. It's reluctant. It's like, it's almost people like, well, if you want to fucking change things, you need to get out and vote. And you got to go, really? I'm not sure.
Well, Joe, I think that also you got to look at what type of vote. Mm-hmm. Maybe on the national level that applies, but on a local level you can vote with your feet. Vote with going down to your council. People go.
You can vote with your wallet too.
Yeah, people don't even go down to their council member meetings and talk about that pothole that's in front of their house.
It's true.
You know,
you're right. That's true. Local politics are real. That's legit. That's why Arnold Schwarzenegger couldn't get shit done.
Because of Joe Rogan.
No, Arnold got in there and saw what a tangled mess this whole thing was. I think they thought they'd be able to clean it up. No, it's a mess. But I think like mayors, governors, you know, things along those lines, that's real. You know, they can really change things and affect things. You could have a good mayor or a shitty mayor. I mean, look what happened in New York City. Look how New York City was cleaned up. I mean, it's a strange thing. You know, strange thing how much something can change with the right guidance and the right leadership. But on a federal level, man, it's like if it really got anything done, if voting really could change things, they'd figure out a way to fuck it up. They'd figure out a way to make it illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things I was even telling Rick was I was looking at some of the local elections, and like 20,000 people, we can mobilize 20,000 people and pick who we want.
You know, it's true.
We can pick.
For local elections, especially if you guys do a podcast, do a Freeway Ricky podcast.
Yeah, you think we should?
Fuck yeah.
You're
going to
be the vice president, Joe Rogan.
You're great on it. I can't be elected to me. I barely have time for my own.
No, the vice president of Freeway Studios.
Oh, Freeway Studios? I think you could do it, man, for sure. You would be able to really mobilize a lot of people that way. People like hearing you talk, man. You got great stories, and your life is fascinating. And you think about what, you know, what a podcast is if you can be entertaining and interesting, you then all of a sudden you got a group of people that are tuned into you, and they get used to you, and they sort of like become your friend. And that's sort of what happens on this show. And so, you know, on this show, people know that if I'm telling them something, it's because it's true, or it's because I believe it's true.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not bullshitting. And when people get to know you, they'll know the same thing.
Absolutely.
And then from there, you can, any speech you're ever going to do somewhere, anything you want to get passed through, anything that you want to let people know about that they don't know about, you have a voice. And you have a voice that, I mean, it'll start off with, you know, X amount of people, and then it'll double, and then it'll triple, and as long as you keep doing it, next thing you know, you got your own fucking radio show. You got your own Freeway Ricky radio show. Yeah. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Because I know I still get people to come up to me from my last show that we did and say, hey, man, I saw you on Joe Rogan. I was at the Dub show like 2 weeks ago in downtown LA at the convention center, and, man, at least 5 or 10 people came up to me. Man, that was a great job you did on Joe Rogan.
That's
like,
awesome.
Wow, that was almost a year ago.
That's awesome. The Dub show, man. That market's taking a hit, man. The big wheel market. That market's taking a hit.
Yeah. I mean, all the luxurious markets.
Yeah. But the big wheel market, even people who have like nice cars, they don't buy the big wheels anymore.
No. But Dub's doing good, though.
The magazine, you mean?
Yeah. They had about 50,000 people out at their car show.
Yeah. I just bought the new magazine. They have cool cars in it, man. It's fascinating shit. Like what people do their cars, people doing their cars up there, like Mr. Cartoon, tattoo artist, and a couple other dudes who I don't know who they are, but they had some pretty badass cars. But the big wheel market, shit. Nobody wants those wagon wheels anymore.
You don't want spinners on your Honda.
How long did spinners last? What was like the legit lifespan for spinners, Brian?
I still see them once in a while.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Dana White used to have them.
But you know,
president of the UFC,
they have a way of changing spinners. Changing people's appetite. You know, today it's big wheels, tomorrow it's little wheels.
Yeah.
You know, and then next week it's big wheels again, and then it's the medium wheels. And, you know, just a way to keep pulling that money up out of our pockets so that we don't take that money and that power and put it to where it could really benefit the people.
Well, it's also just a distraction. People love shiny shit, man. If you can give them a shiny-ass wheel, like, whoa. I saw a dude who had like a Chevy Caprice, like a Caprice Classic, and they were the most ridiculous wheels I've ever seen in my life. It was like a 10-speed bike wheel. It was just crazy. It's like, what the fuck are you doing with your car? This isn't even a car anymore.
Yeah, I see them all the time.
It's so strange. Like, I don't even know how he got into the car. It was so high up there. It was like an acrobatic event just to climb into his front seat to deal with his crazy, stupid wheels. It's weird, man. People are strange.
Yeah, well, that's the state of America right now, man.
Like, have you ever understood monster trucks?
No.
Yeah, I've watched them before.
I've only been in one. I was in Quentin Rampage Jackson's. He has a giant monster truck. He had a monster truck with a picture of his face on it.
But I'm from LA, though. You got to remember, we're from LA.
I know, but
you gotta be from like the Midwest.
Well, Quentin's from Memphis. Yeah,
you got to be from the middle of the country for that.
The cool thing is the height of it. You know, looking out over. It's like you're in a city bus. Like, looking out. It's weird. Like, you're looking above the traffic. It's real strange.
You see Arnold Schwarzenegger's new car?
No.
He has some German car that's really popular with the German army. And it's like a Hummer, but taller. Like, I'll try to find a picture.
Oh, really?
Is it electric?
No. It's gas-guzzling, horrible car.
Yeah, no one's got
2 miles a gallon.
Well, there's real problems with electric cars, man. You know, the people want to go electric, but you realize that electric relies on lithium-ion batteries, and they get that shit from war zones. You know, anywhere where there's lithium, people are dying. You know, there's lithium in the Congo. There's lithium. There's pockets of lithium that were recently found in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, lithium is it's a scarce element. And when they find it, man, you know, they try to lock down that area and control it. So it's like you're not really going to get a conflict-free car that runs on electricity because that shit runs on a lot of lithium. So they got to pull that out of a mountain somewhere in Afghanistan.
That sounds like Avatar.
Yeah. Look at this motherfucker.
It is. You're right.
Avatar.
Look at this motherfucker.
Oh, wow. Look at that stupid car. Arnold, you silly bitch. He's just ready. He's ready for the end. The end is coming. Looks like he's been pumping up, doesn't he? He's getting back in shape.
Steroids.
So crazy.
That's a Mercedes.
Is that a monkey in the back?
Look at the cigar.
Oh, no, it's a dog.
Dog, son. Look at the cigar. I'm going to the maid's house. I think that I had a crazy dream about him.
No license plate?
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck. I had a crazy dream about him after his whole case, and I talked about it on the podcast. It was real weird, man. He was in my family's yard. They had a yard that like was like right up next to like a lake. It was like a lake or an ocean, but anyway, they're swimming. And Arnold was running around swimming with his like balls and cock hanging out. And he was really confident.
Oh, yeah.
He was really confident, just strolling around. No big deal. My cock is hanging out. He was just so casual about his dick hanging out. I remember thinking, you got to keep women away from that guy. He's just trying to fuck. And this was my crazy dream, of course. But it was just such a strange dream to see some old, in-shape guy with his dick hanging out, just swimming around near people. It was a strange.
Well, you know, some
dream.
People feel like they're more privileged than others. You know, we can do whatever we want to do because we got all the guns.
Yeah. Do you think that's his attitude? That he just feels privileged?
Absolutely.
He's a Hollywood star with a lot of guns. I'm going to fuck the maid.
And everybody else that gets in my way.
Yeah. Just shoot loads into her. Didn't give a fuck.
Did you see the Expendables 2? Did you?
No, I didn't see it. Did you?
No. Yeah, I saw the first one.
Was it any good?
It was okay.
Yeah. The first one was fun. If you want, it's like a good episode of Dukes of Hazzard. You know what I mean?
Like, but the same characters, like today.
Yeah.
They're just 50 in the car.
We're going to make a comeback. We're coming back.
But you know, that what that's about is what something that you said earlier. You know, you said that, you know, we should invest in kids, but America's an old country. It's like most of the people are like 58. When you watch TV, everything that's on is for them.
What is the numbers of people? I don't think that's right. I wonder what the average age of people is.
Oh, yeah.
In America.
America used to be in the 70s. It was like a young country because the baby boomers are getting old. Oh. So now America's like an old country. So when you sit and watch television, that's why it's all for old people.
So what is the average person? How old is the average?
I think it's like 50 something.
Really?
53, 54. Maybe late 40s. I might be wrong. But it's definitely not in the 30s.
All right, Brian, take a guess before I hit enter.
35.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm with you. I'm saying in late 30s. That's what I say. Because I know there's a lot of people fucking these days. Let's see. median age was 28 in 2012. Yeah. So, not quite.
I saw that. Did you see that advertisement? Somebody found a old commercial of you in it on Comedy Central. It was like in the middle of some
a field.
Yeah, of a field, and you're talking to cows.
I was 22 years old there.
That was so weird.
Yeah, it was terrible. It's so awful too. Yeah, it seems like that's what it is.
Yeah, 28.
Yeah, it seems like it's 28.
Well, that's in the middle. Not young, but not old either.
Well, this one, though, says United States median age is 36.9. It says the average is 36.9 because for men it's 35 years, for women it's 38 years. So that would say that you were about right. Yeah, we're about right, 35, 36. Yeah. Either way, that's probably older than people were back in the 70s,
right? In the 70s, people were, we were a young country because all those baby boomers were just...
Well, that's why everybody went crazy, was doing drugs, listening to Jimi Hendrix and fucking all that shit, you know?
Happy times.
Yeah, happy times, right?
Growth.
But growth. But what a crazy little burst of energy that time was, and then to have it all pulled back, you know? It's like for a 10-year period from between 1950 and 1960, the world changed in a crazy way. I mean, it really changed like a motherfucker. And then 10 years later, everything became illegal. Huh. And then they put the lockdown on everything. 1970, they passed all those drugs.
The drug war.
Yeah. That's when they said, no more acid, no more anything else. Stop it. people were taking all kinds of crazy shit that was legal at the time.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Somebody said they used to even put Coke in cocaine. Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah.
They put Coke in Coca-Cola.
Have you ever had the real Coke?
I had the Mexican Coke, which is
Mexican Coke is different.
It's cane sugar instead of
it's delicious.
Whatever sugar we use,
Mexican Coke is better.
Yeah,
isn't that fucked up.
But they don't have. I haven't seen Mexican Diet Coke.
But they have cane sugar instead of corn syrup.
Yeah,
which is way better for you.
Oh yeah,
isn't that ridiculous?
That shit they put in sodas is the worst. And I haven't drunk a soda in about 25 years.
Really?
Yeah, I totally cut them out.
Smart. They're so delicious, though.
Check a Coke Zero.
It's sharp.
Yeah, man, when you have, like, a nice sandwich, you know, you want a Coke to go with that shit. It tastes good.
Yeah.
Burger and Coke.
Yeah, it sucks that you're, like, I eat these kale shakes, man, and it's not my favorite thing to eat. They don't taste good. There's this big fucking blended shake that I make where I stuff kale in it and celery and ginger and garlic and pineapple, but when I drink them, I feel way better. But I'm like, why can't something like that draw me to it? Because every time I go to it, it's like work. It's like, I can't believe I'm drinking this fucking disgusting shit. And I'm like, all right, it's going to be delicious. I'll start talking myself into it, and then I'll pour like a lot of coconut oil on it and a lot of pineapple in it. So it tastes a little bit better.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't taste that good. If like I had to choose between that and a soda, I would want that soda. The soda's delicious.
Absolutely.
The soda's like... pain free. It's like, oh, give me some love.
But then you won't be looking as young as you do.
No, I won't be feeling as good.
Or as healthy as you are right now. And you know, and health is so important, you know. A lot of times
I try to tell this motherfucker, tell him to stop smoking. I keep telling him. I want him to, he's getting older and he smokes and he doesn't take care of his body. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to be over your bed while you got some cancer type shit. Right?
That's what happened with the rapper. He had to eat better. You heard about that?
Another rap? What's that?
No, with the rapper, he had to eat better. He had seizures, and then he had to change his diet. That's in the Rolling Stone article, too.
Oh, Rick Ross had seizures, so he had to change his diet. The fake Rick Ross.
Yeah, so he had to change his diet. That's why he has a song called Diced Pineapples.
Yeah, he's had two heart attacks, right? And he's made two songs about his heart attacks.
That dude is just lying and slinging dick until he hits the wall. When you had a bunch of heart attacks, and you're that fat with your shirt off.
And plus, you know, he probably wasn't getting laid until after he started rapping.
So. Yeah, it's probably his balls don't know what is going on. They're like, why are we shooting so many loads? How the fuck did this guy get so successful with his dick? It's like for 35 years, nothing. All of a sudden, every day, it's like, we need more loads. They're like, more loads? Can you imagine if you were like in the load factory in his body and then all of a sudden production went up by like 5,000% in his 30s? The fuck is going on, man? What do we do with all this sperm? It's just him eating sandwiches, getting his dick sucked.
You're fucking nuts.
Counting your money. Trying to figure out how much he can give you and still live like this.
None.
He's probably thinking about it right now.
None. In his mind, he's saying none. I'm not going to give him a dime.
Yeah. Well, if he has to change his name to Rosé, at least he's like set the stage for that, you know? Right? Yeah, I mean, no. He kind of has, right? You said he's sort of using another name.
No, nah, he's using Rick Ross.
He's still using that constantly.
Look at the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe they did that, too. Maybe there was, like, this is what we're marketing. So before we totally lose, let's keep that going on. Maybe they just figure that's the best way. Do you think they got to know that they're going to lose? Right?
I hope so.
I bet the lawyers are listening to this shit right now.
Nah.
I bet they are.
Never know.
If they're good, right? Wouldn't you be listening to this? You're on top of everything.
We don't know if they're good.
I watched his...
A good lawyer would you know... I mean, just for me, you know, businessman. And I say, okay, well, we just spent $100,000. We know we're going to have to spend at least another $1 million. Hey, you want to go and sit down and talk to this guy and try to work this thing out?
Right.
But no, his lawyers are like, oh, no, keep sending those checks. And pay $1.3 million out of selling, they say 200,000 records, but... I think it's probably more like 25,000.
What he actually sells?
No, he's talking about opening week.
Opening week. And so they say. So
you think they lie about that shit?
They buy the records themselves.
They do.
We don't know if they bought them in his case, but they do buy records.
That's really? What companies do that?
We don't.
All of them.
They do that just to jack up the sales to make it look bigger.
To make
than
it look
it is?
Like the guy is hot when he may be not.
Really? That is interesting.
Make him go gold.
Really? How many do you have to sell before you go gold?
500,000.
And platinum's a million?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that they could just go buy them like that. Well, it makes sense, though.
It's kind of unethical or illegal to do that, but they all practice that method.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of makes sense. You know, look, if you wanted to think about it that way, if you could, like, brag about the guy selling so much, people will try shit they hear is... Like real popular.
And then you start to get advertisement, you know.
Yeah.
BET will pick you up and they start to play your videos and MTV and, oh, he sold 500,000. So now you're hot.
It's a weird business, that music business, man. It seems like a strange, strange place to maneuver.
Joe, can I ask you a question?
Sure, please.
If my name was William Roberts and I rapped about being a correctional officer, would you buy my CD?
Yeah, if you were good. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You could have any fucking job, and I don't care what you do. You could be a comedian. You could be a rapper. You could be an author. You could if you're good. It's not like the title of what the guy does. It's like, who is he? You know, like there's a lot of people that are working in Baskin Robbins scooping ice cream, but they're interesting motherfuckers. If you were sat down and talked to them for a long period of time, they might be able to actually write a book that's pretty fucking badass you would want to read. He might be able to rap about ice cream and it'd be like, I never thought a motherfucker could rap about ice cream, and I would think it was fun. It all depends on the individual and the context of what they're saying. So that guy for sure could have pulled off talking about being a corrections officer. He just had to be a bad motherfucker to
do it. I don't know. I just think rap is so anti-authoritarian.
It's true.
You know, and especially like how he's trying to rap.
Yeah.
I'm a correction officer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Don't know if it works.
That's true.
I lock up drug dealers.
And tackle people down.
I'm on the goon squad. We're going to take him down.
You would have to be unbelievably good.
I made him bend over and spread his cheeks.
He would have to be Eminem times a million.
Yeah, I checked up on his nutsack.
He would have to be, you know, a million times better than Jay-Z. But if he would, it's like, it's not impossible. It's just he would have to be so good to overcome that hate. It would be almost impossible.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I really think that anything is possible. Is it, can you do it? Can I do it? No, probably not. But is it possible that someone could be so good at rapping that they could pull off being a bad motherfucker, even though they used to be a corrections officer?
And yes. It's probably going to happen one day.
Maybe. It's possible. You'd have to be so just untouchably
It'll be in your dream dope. With Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, it would be.
He just walked past. William Roberts just passed by. He
but you know, like if Nas was a corrections officer, Nas's lyrics are so goddamn good. You got to just respect it. You can't deny it. I never heard anybody says that Nas sucks because his lyrics are so good. That one where he plays the whole song backwards, like the events, like he reads them backwards, like... Come on, man. Who the fuck can do that? Who else can do that? Even if he was a corrections officer, he'd have to go, God damn, that was pretty fucking badass. You know what I mean? So he would have to be that good. But he's not. He's not that good. He's not that good at all, which is really interesting. That every day I'm hustling. It's got like a catchy beat to it. That was pretty good.
Yeah, you know that came from Dark Alliance.
Because that's what you said. Yeah, that's one of the things that you said, right?
Yep. I mean.
That's so weird. You're in a club and you hear every day I'm hustling, every day I'm hustling, and you must be in a club going, what the fuck is going on in this life?
You know what was funny to me about a month and a half ago? I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and so this kid, he did a rap against the rapper, you know, only support the real, middle finger to the fake.
Whoa.
And so the rapper and they all sitting in VIP and they play the rapper on the radio.
Oh no. And they're sitting
and the guy
together?
Called me. He calls me. He's like, yeah, I'm sitting right next to that dude right now and they just played the song on the radio.
And did he know that it was him that played
that?
Yeah,
he knew.
That's hilarious.
And he had just talked to the kid before the song came on and, you know, was telling him how hot he was.
It's a terrible place to be, man. To be full of shit's a terrible thing to be. You know? I mean, in that
but
way.
But if you look at the stomach, I mean, he's been there for a while. You just don't get there overnight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's a slob. It's amazing. That's a fascinating story. It's just you're admirable in how you are depicting it. In a very, you're not vindictive. You're not angry. You're like, I barely feel like your heart goes up a beat when you bring it up. You just bring it up very factually with like a.
I just want what's mine.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, it's you're not freaking out about it. You're just persistent.
No, I'm not. But I'm not gonna rest until I get it straight. You know.
Right.
He don't understand the type of person that I am. You know, when I had my life sentence. In prison, one of the things that I committed myself to was getting out of prison. And now, one of the things that I'm committed to right now is to get my name back, you know, to stop him from using my name. And I want my name back with interest.
Yeah.
You know, give me my interest with my name.
How much would you take to shut up?
I don't know.
I shouldn't even say shut up. That's disrespectful. How much would you take to drop it?
I don't know. I really couldn't say right now. We'd have to sit down and crunch the numbers. Because, you know, I got attorneys that I got to pay, too.
You know,
these guys been helping me out out of the kindness of their heart. And it's put a strain on me, you know, fighting this case. Because I don't make much money. You know, I get a few dollars. And the work that I'm doing right now, you know, when I go out to a high school and speak, they don't pay me for that. I take books.
We need a Rick Ross podcast and a Rick Ross T-shirt.
Let's do it.
Need to start selling them on the podcast.
We'll do that.
Just that alone, man. I'm telling you. I everywhere I go, I see these machine T-shirts from Bert Kreischer. Bert Kreischer's a comedian friend of ours. He told a story on the podcast about getting drunk in Russia, and he was saying I'm a machine. I'm the machine. That's what he was telling all these Russian people. He didn't know what the fuck he was saying, and he was hammered. So it became a hilarious story that now he sold these shirts that say the machine on the bottom of them. These fucking shirts are everywhere. I've seen them in other countries.
He does it so smart, too, because I got to see him in Dayton. He will do the whole machine story, and it's like a new version of it where he's tightened it up and made, just even put it to the next level. And then when he's done, he's like, and I have machine shirts out front. And then, everybody, after hearing that amazing story, is like, hello, bye-bye.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. I bet he gets rid of thousands of those fucking things. Everywhere I go, I see those Death Squad shirts. I see Death Squad shirts at every one of our shows. I see Death Squad shirts at UFCs. I see them constantly.
Did you see it last night on TV? It was on America's Got Talent. One of the bands was wearing a Death Squad shirt.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hot. Pull that up. Pull that up. See, that's what I'm talking about. We need a Rick Ross t-shirt. We need a Rick Ross podcast, a Rick Ross t-shirt. Just that alone, man. Just that. Again, you need to get that started yesterday. Yeah, for real. Because you can talk, man. You're an interesting dude. And I see what you're doing on your that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just Hitler Cat on NBC.
That is that is hilarious. And I saw what you're doing on your website as well. Your website has a lot of news and a lot of news about shit that's going on in the world as well. Like you put like little blurbs of things that are happening on your website. That you're involved with.
Absolutely.
Clients. Right.
I want to be informative. You know, I want to let the people know, because I believe that just like you're doing, there's so much bullshit out here that I want to cut through the bullshit and help the people get something that can help them, you know. Because I think the most important thing is for us to get our country back on track.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the way America used to be, you know. And right now, I'm not happy with the way it's going. I'm not happy with fake it till you make it. You mm-hmm. know, just be around the people with money right now, these people would rather hang out with somebody that has money than to go out and try to make some money for themselves. So we got to change that. You know, we got to change it to where you are a star. Everybody's a star, and everybody should be treated like one. I don't think that, you know, this guy's a bigger person than you because he has money in the bank, or I'm smarter than you because I don't have any money. I think we all created equal. We all have talents, and that we just have to explore everybody and give everybody an equal opportunity.
That's a beautiful idea on paper. My problem with the way this world is screwed up is that it seems like the debt is so considerable, it's almost like the whole thing doesn't make sense anymore. I don't understand finances that much, but when you start talking the trillions of dollars of debt and we talk about like what the interest rate is and you talk about like how much people will be paying off and where Social Security coming from and when you start like looking at those numbers, it's almost like this just seems broken.
It is broken. But the only way it's going to get fixed is we fix it. If we don't, it's going to get worse.
Does it have? Yeah, but that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about, does it have to fail before it can be reinvented in a more productive manner? Is that like the destiny this culture to fail?
It has already failed.
It seems like it has.
I mean, if it hasn't, if they don't consider it failed right now, we have over 2.3 million people in prison right now.
Yeah.
We're the biggest incarcerators in the world. If that's not a sign that you're failing, then what is?
Well, what's insane is how many of them are in there because they didn't sell a sanctioned drug. They locked this person in. It's not like it's not drugs for sale. It's not like you can't go to CVS and get fucked up anytime you want, especially if you have a prescription. But even if you don't have a prescription, you can walk into CVS and just drink till you're dead. You know, no problem whatsoever. But if someone's selling some unsanctioned substances and there's a demand and a supply and these dudes selling Oxycontins, these fucking guys living behind velvet gates, you know, no one's coming after them. They're just collecting. They're just watching zeros. They're just sitting in front of the computer, logged onto their account, watching cling, cling, cling. It's like a lottery bell going off.
And now here they're giving kids prescriptions because the kid is moving around fast. They got some drug that they're giving them. And
sure, Ritalin. Ritalin is famous. They give kids that are hyperactive, but they're doing Prozac on young kids. You know, there's my next door neighbor. They were terrible parents. Their fucking kids were always screaming at each other, and they didn't know how to handle it, and they would scream at each other, and there's a lot of nonsense going on. The kids just were fucking haywire. They were haywire. And then they started drugging them. It was crazy, man. Yeah, it was crazy to watch. It was like all of a sudden the kids would just be like looking at you. I would leave the house, and they would be bouncing off the wall. You'd try to pull out of the driveway. Excuse me. They're fucking in the street, jumping off the car. You know, but that was normal at least. That was like what crazy
kids do. No, that's what kids do.
Then you pull your car out there, and you see zombie kids.
Yeah, just
same kids just standing there.
Shuffling. We used to call it in jail when they would it was certain guys that they would put on drugs when we were in jail, and they would just be standing there going back and forth with their feet. Oh. And we would call it the Thorazine Shuffle.
Oh.
So it's awful when they do that to young kids, you know, because that stuff really mess you up.
It's scary. It's scary how many parents just want to calm the little fuckers down, you know? They just can't take it anymore. If you've never had a kid, you don't know. You don't know how frayed people get. They just get to the point where they can't take it. They can't take it. Drug him up! Drug him!
Prepare him to go to prison. That's what they do.
Sad.
Put him on Thorazine, and then when he's old enough to say he don't want it anymore, then we'll just put him in prison.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty fucking pathetic. How many dudes when you were in jail were on different medications?
Oh man, the lines be huge.
And can you get them? Like if you say I'm depressed, like
what? Oh yeah, you can just go into the doctor and give him a story. You hear noises or
really?
Yeah, yeah.
And then what kind of shit they give you?
Thorazine or the one that you just said, or
Ritalin or Prozac. Ritalin. Prozac. Yeah. And when they take those, then all of a sudden they just zone out.
Oh, they zone out. Yeah, you would see them standing in a spot, and they just go back and forth, raising one foot up after another one. And,
whoa!
In jail, it's called a Thorazine Shuffle, but all those drugs kind of give them the same type of effect.
Do any guys in jail ever get pain medication?
Oh yeah, you can get pain medication if you hurt your back.
Really? Like yeah, what kind of shit? What can you get?
Hopefully they don't give you Viagra in jail.
No, if it's something strong.
No, do they give you Viagra in jail?
No, I don't think so.
You got to get that in. Imagine if you take Viagra that a dude snuck in his ass.
Oh, God.
It just seems like a bad path.
When I was in jail, everyone was talking about hooch. Oh. You know what hooch is?
Yeah, they make hooch all the time.
Yeah, and I don't know. I never tried it.
Is it like homemade alcohol? Is that what it is?
Yeah, homemade alcohol.
So what do you have to have wrong with you to get pain pills? Like what kind of pain pills they give out?
Oh, you can go in there, hurt your back, you know. And
so if you pull the muscle. Weights,
pull the muscle, get hurt on the football field.
They hook you up with some Oxycontins?
I don't know if they give you Oxycontins. Now, they do have medicine that they give you, and you have to go up and you go to the doctor, and they put it in a cup, and then right then you have to throw it in your mouth, drink some water, and then open your mouth up so the doctor can look inside and make sure that you took the pill. Now, those pills are like really, really prescription medicine. But then they would give you like ibuprofen, you know, you can just bring those back to your cell.
Yeah, stuff that doesn't get you high is fine.
Right.
But the ones that get you high, how long do they give them to you for?
I mean, there's guys that get them for as long as they're in there.
Whoa.
But you have to keep going up to the window every day. You know, some guys go three times a day to get the medicine. But what they'll do is some guys, instead of taking it, they'll put it under their tongue and get back in the unit and sell it.
That must be a skill you develop, how to tuck it and hide it. And
yeah, You know, if you do it for a couple of years, you perfect it.
Is there anything that people would be surprised that you could get in jail?
You can get cell phones.
You can get anything in jail that you got on the street if you got money.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much anything. Cocaine, heroin, Oxycontin, crystal meth, everything is inside the jailhouse.
I would have been the like PlayStation just... and like, you know, I'll just like something to make it easier just to wasting my time in jail.
Can you get a steak? Yeah. a hot steak.
Well, you know, the jails now give you PlayStations.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, they have it in the library.
Yeah, but if you lose, you have to suck someone's dick.
It's all the old games, too.
It's the ancient Pong. You get Pong.
Yeah, Madden 07.
One controller, too. You guys gotta share.
So could you get a steak? He was asking. Can you get a fat steak?
Yeah, you can get a steak easy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Because they have steaks for the guards.
No, the funniest.
Oh, okay.
Funniest thing ever is when he responds about, like, I heard about Rick Ross, so I get on the phone. It's like, how do you get on the phone? Hold on, you're in jail. So he said it like it just happened instantaneously. Like he just jumped.
That's
on the phone.
Funny.
Yeah, you can get pretty much anything in there. You know, they got guys in the kitchen that will cook your meal just the way you want it every day.
Really?
But you gotta have money.
Right. How much does it take to get a steak?
Probably like $5.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, for a plate.
That's nice. That's awesome. But it's hard to get money in jail, or can you got to bring in money?
No, if you got money on the streets. Say, for instance, if your people got money on the streets. Uh-huh.
They can donate it to you?
No, they just send it to your books. Or, say, for instance, the guy in the kitchen who cooks, he knows you, so he gives you credit. And then you can just tell your people, hey, this is the guy's name, this is his booking number, send him $300.
Oh.
And that'll cover you for the whole month. Damn. Or 2 months, or 3 months. So whenever you come in the kitchen, he just automatically bring your tray.
Does anybody have it
like
that?
They call it contracts.
Contracts. Does anybody have it like that scene in Goodfellas where they're in there cooking, they got a razor blade, and they're chopping up the garlic, and they're frying steak? Does anybody have it set up like they have they have like a cell that's pretty badass?
Damn.
Well, you know what? Wait a minute. They do fix their cells up.
Yeah?
But not with outside stuff. You know, they might have an outside radio, you know, with outside speakers, stuff like that there. Maybe a blanket, you know, that comes from the outside. But you can't have a bed that comes from the outside.
In Goodfellas, they had like a whole apartment in jail. They were walking around with slacks on and shit.
No. You can't have that in the feds. They're going to make sure everybody has the same bed.
Oh, okay.
Some guys have special mattresses.
Special mattresses? <laughs> Yeah,
you can get a special mattress. Like
tell them about the last day before you left when all your guys come in and sleep in your cell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they stayed. My last night that I left at like 4 in the morning. So about 7 or 8 guys, you know, that I studied with and like my best friends at the institution, you know, we just hung out all night, you know, ate chips and talked and, you know, talked about what I was going to do when I got out. And you know, just a going away party.
That sounds like you were a loved guy in there, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of love in prison. You know, it's crazy because even in prison, when I play basketball or something like that or football and people want to foul me hard, you know, the guys be like, man, you can't do that to Rick. You know, I mean, even right now, you know, this guy's on the street that want to hurt this dude.
Wow.
They come up to me all the time in L.A. and like, man, when I'm going to see him, I'm going to punch him in the face like Snooki got punched in the face.
You're going to Snooki him.
Yeah, I was went by a gym a couple weeks ago, and this guy came up to me. And he's like, big homie, when I see him,
oh, man,
it's on sight. I was like, huh? I was like, no, man. So I just get a lot of love, you know, because, the people know my heart. They knew that even though I did something that was wrong, it was out of ignorance and not on purpose that I did what I did.
Well, your story is very fascinating. And for the people that didn't hear the first time you were on the podcast, you were a really good tennis player. And you essentially, I bet you are. You look like you're in great shape. But you essentially had nowhere to go outside of high school because you couldn't read.
Yeah, couldn't read.
You couldn't go to college. You couldn't.
Stuck.
Crazy.
I stuck myself. I mean, and you know what me and Antonio found out is like 65% of the guys in prison can't read.
Wow.
So that would be one of the first things to do to combat prison. Okay, let's make sure we teach all these guys how to read.
They don't teach you shit once you get in there, right?
Nah.
You had to force yourself. You had to learn yourself.
Yeah, I had to learn myself. I had a life sentence, so I had a great reason to learn how to read. And my lawyer was like, well, I'm not real motivated. You don't have much money.
Wow.
So I'm not
He really said that to you?
Yeah, he told me that.
He really said that to you. I'm not real motivated. You don't have much money.
And you know what? He also told me something that may be the best thing that he ever did for me in my whole life. And he told me these words here. He said, anytime somebody else wants for you something more than you want it for yourself, then you're in trouble. So what I took from that is that he was telling me that if I was dependent on him to get me out of prison, then I was in trouble. So I took matters into my own hand.
Well, only 1% of people ever give back a federal life sentence. And for 6 years, he had one.
That's amazing. It's an amazing story, too. It's amazing how the whole thing transpired. And the fact that you didn't know how to read when you first started on your journey to try to figure out what was wrong with your case, that's incredible because, I mean, you literally from the ground up had to do it.
I did from the ground up. That's why I know that just about anybody can do it. And
what was it like before you could read? When you were 28 years old and you would see like some shit written somewhere, what would it look like?
You got to remember he was rich too.
Yeah.
So he has to read a lot of things as a rich person.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, a lot of times I faked it if it was somebody around. I faked, you know, that I could read.
Right.
You know, I would look at it as if I had read it and then would pass it on to them. Like, say, for contracts, when I would go buy a house. Well, I would look at the contract for a little while and try to figure out in my mind how long it would take a person to read the contract.
That's hilarious.
And then I would hand it to whoever was with me and tell them to read it and then ask them, well, what do you think about this contract? And then they would give me their opinion. well, I think this and I think that, and then I would come up with my own decision from there.
So when you were looking at the pieces of paper, what were you thinking? Just 1,001, 1,002, I wish I could read.
I wish I could read. 1,004, I wish I could read. I should have studied.
That's such a
Why couldn't I learn how to read? So, you know, what was wrong with me when I was going to school?
Did anybody around you know that you didn't have to know how to read?
I don't know, because I hid it. And you know, when you got money, what you find out is you get a lot of people around you that just, you know,
right,
and tell you what you want to hear, and they don't question.
Right, and they can handle things for you, too.
Yeah.
So you just relied on that.
Yeah.
What did it look like when you looked at, like, if you looked at the cover of this Rolling Stone and you saw all these letters?
I can't remember now because I can do it. I don't know if I would have looked at a Rolling Stone.
Really?
I don't know if I would have, you know, I mean, when you can't read, you know, why are you going to be looking? I don't think I ever tried to read a magazine until I got to prison.
Did you, like, when you see it, do you remember that if you recognize the letters?
I don't know if anybody in my family had a magazine when I was growing up.
I mean,
a magazine wasn't something that would, I mean, who in my house would have bought a magazine? My mother wouldn't have. My brothers, you know.
Is there any books?
I don't think so. What kind of books would have been in our house?
Bible.
You know, my brothers was in the same position. You know, my oldest brother can't read. Even right now, he has problem reading. My younger brothers could read, but, I mean, what was they going to read? You know, they're going to follow in my footsteps and in my older brother's footsteps. So I don't think that we had books in our house.
And we got to remember, this is like fresh off of Jim Crow. This is 5 years off of Jim Crow. I think even though we say Jim Crow ended in 65, 66, it probably didn't set in until, you know, the late 70s.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you wrap your head around people saying that people need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I don't think a lot of people understand how bad it is in some areas. And they can't even wrap their head around what it is like to grow up where no one else can read.
Yeah, it is. Or no one else tells you that you should read. You know, and in our neighborhood, the guys are telling you, you're crazy for reading.
You're crazy for reading.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to tell you, man, get you a snatch bar. You know, go get you a hoe.
A snatch bar? That's what they call it?
Yeah, a snatch bar is a piece of equipment that they use to steal cars.
Oh.
You snatch the ignition out with it.
I thought that was a girl you were talking about.
Oh, it was like a snatch bar? No, the hoe was the girl.
They said, go get you a hoe. I was like,
the
that's another.
The girl.
Did you know what he was talking about?
Yeah.
Snatch bar? Mm-hmm. Brian's totally gangster.
The hoe was the girl, you know, because we stayed on Figueroa, so.
Right.
Yeah, man, get you a hoe. That's get how a make
just put the book down. You're being silly.
Yeah, and you're not going to make it. Get you a sack.
Wow.
You know, slang. Get you a pistol and rob.
How many people around you were, when you were growing up, were not doing crime?
Where I was growing up at?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was just constant everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Crime was accepted. In my community, crime was accepted. That was one of the things that they were really fascinated about. Me lasting so long in the drug business is that my neighbors allowed me to do it. I mean, my neighbors could have had me arrested immediately because they knew what I was doing. I've even had neighbors to, one time I stashed some drugs inside a brick wall in between my mom's house and my neighbor's house, and it fell through the fence into her yard. And so she picks up, well, I don't know, maybe like $200,000 worth of dope.
Oh, my God.
She takes it in her house. And then she tells my mom, tell Rick to come by here and see me. And so when I come, my mom say, Mary Joyce said, come and see her. And instantly I knew what it was. You know, instantly. So I go over there and I was like, you know, I got my head down, you know, all set. Because this lady is like my auntie. You know? We grew up next to her. And then she says, I got your bag in the room. Whenever you get ready for it, just tell me to bring it to you.
Whoa.
So, you know, when I go get the bag, and then the next day I have guys to come over and do like a $5,000 paint job on her house, you know.
Nice.
Go paint that house.
Nice. Well, that's a smart way to handle it, man. That's the diplomatic way of keeping the community happy.
Yeah, you got to. And that was the kind of goodwill that I got in my neighborhood. Now, she was anti-drugs because her daughter was on drugs. Was on drugs before I started selling drugs. Her daughter used to be on PCP and was all strung out. But she respected what I did, and she allowed me to conduct my business in her neighborhood. Which I ran it respectfully, too. You know, wasn't no guns. Wasn't no gangbangers. Wasn't nobody going to get robbed over there. You know, I made sure of that. You're not going to come over here doing no robbing.
How did you keep it so civil? How did you avoid the normal pitfalls?
Well, I was willing to do whatever it took. You know, I was the police around here. I policed my neighborhood.
Wow.
You know, you do something around here, you know, I'm gonna deal with you.
That's amazing. Like, how much of an area did you control?
Los Angeles at one time.
That's amazing.
I mean, you know, if it was a time, man, when a certain set of the Christian Bloods would get into it and they would come and report to me. Man, you know those guys did such and such. And we're going to retaliate. Hold up. Let me go talk to them.
Wow.
So, you know, and a lot of my guys said that I really put on the first peace treaty, you know, because for the first time that we ever saw, man, it was Crips and Bloods selling drugs on the same streets.
Wow.
And, I mean, you know, money will make you work together. You know, money will make you work
together. Is that what brought the Crips and the Bloods together?
No, not the time when Rodney King happened.
That's what brought them together, Rodney King?
Yeah, but they had been working together before that. They had sold drugs together. Crips and Bloods had sold drugs together in the 80s.
Oh, I see. And Rodney King, he recently passed away, something drug related, wasn't it? He drowned or something
drowned,
like that?
Yeah, got too high. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, that's what I had read. It was in his system. He had a lot of stuff. It's amazing that... That sort of opened up people's eyes to what the fuck could happen when you get pulled over by the police. Like, a lot of times people, they had
only
heard
with a
stories.
Camera.
Yeah, but whoever sees
got
it.
I don't experience it. See all these scars in my face?
Yeah.
That's flashlight therapy, baby.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I done had the dog bite me up while I was handcuffed.
Oh, God.
I got the boot marks in my back, you know, where they stomped me and I done been through it. I was Rodney King like 4 or 5 years before Rodney King.
Most people who have never seen that before Rodney King had no idea that could go on. Unless you saw like the video from the Chicago, was it the Democratic Convention in the 60s where the cops beat the fuck out of those kids?
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, there was some convention in the 60s where the cops just beat the fuck out of these kids with clubs. And it was horrific because it was on TV and people got to see it for the first time in the news. It was before Kent State when they shot those kids who were protesting the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And it was one of the first times. But then the Rodney King one was like a recent one. You know, it wasn't the news doing it. It was one of the first ones where people with a camera, because the whole camera thing was like a fairly new thing.
Yeah,
where a regular person would have a video camera. Before, you would have to be a guy like making movies or some shit.
Right.
But it got to the point where the technology got to the common person could have a video camera, and then boom. They could catch someone doing something heinous.
Now they got guys in South Central that got little cameras that they strap to their chest and walk around with it. And I forgot what they call them. But,
they have them on all the time?
All the time. And they say that's the way they keep the police off of them.
Brian has glasses.
I have glasses and a pen. It looks like a big pen, but it does HD.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can just set it down on, you know, and record HD and...
Yeah, they have that spy shop where that's all they specialize in, like shit that you can like wear, hats and stuff that film and things along those lines.
Yeah, I was with a guy the other night and he had this thing and I was like, man, what's that on your chest? He said, oh, that's my police camera. He said, they can't cut it off either.
Cops got busted recently slamming some girl to the ground, picked her up and slammed her twice.
You see why she got pulled over though?
No.
She got pulled over for a cell phone ticket.
That's it?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was a cell phone ticket.
Oh my God.
Those cell phone tickets are, you know, they're saying that's like $120, but everyone I know that has got one, it's been like $800,
$900. Why is it that much? Court fees or something?
Yeah, like there's all these extra bullshit charges to it and stuff.
What?
Yeah. Damn. Well, I guess that's why they slammed it to the ground. It was $800.
Bitch owes money.
Pay up.
That's ridiculous.
Pay up, the enforcer.
I think cops are used to doing that. I think they've been doing that since the beginning of time. Have you heard of that one cop that they found in Florida that might be a serial killer?
Yeah, with the wife?
No, different guy. I know that guy too. But another guy who pulled over two separate people said he brought them to the Circle K and dropped them out. And then there's no video at the Circle K. The security camera does not show him or the guy there. There's no evidence of him making calls that he allegedly makes. And he also runs like searches on these people and says that he doesn't even know who they are. Like, I don't even remember meeting anybody.
Wow.
Like, I don't know. Like, he's had like three different stories. I found the car abandoned. Like, he's got all these different stories. But meanwhile, both guys are completely off the face of the earth. They vanished. And there's just people that he just pulled over for speeding or for whatever.
Dexter, you know? Morgan.
Yeah.
Yeah. One guy's like, his mom was like interviewing. She's like, he would definitely call me if he was alive. I was like, wow.
Yes, I heard that. That was, wow. Yeah, that was black, exactly the Latino. One I heard. Yeah, the Latino guy didn't even speak English. They were both from Mexico, and him and his brother were separated. The cop took his brother, said he's going to drop him off at Circle T. He just killed this motherfucker. Wow. Just probably. Who knows? You know, I think human beings, when they get into a position of power, they lose objectivity, and they start looking at it as a us versus them thing. You know,
I don't know, Joe. I think that's a pessimistic view a little bit, because I look at Rick and I think that one of the aspirational parts of him is that he got into power and he shared it. I mean,
I think for the most part, that is how people behave. I mean, that's how cops behave. It's not every cop that behaves like that, obviously. I know a lot of good cops, especially from jiu-jitsu, from martial arts. I'm always around cops, and I know a lot of them that are really cool, but I know a lot of cops that are cunts. You know, and it just is what it is. And I think the ones like this serial killer guy, you know, and the ones like the guy who slams those people on the ground, I mean, those guys exist. You know, it's and they have absolute power.
Yeah.
But how about the fucking kid who was handcuffed and shot himself in the back of the head?
In the car.
In the back seat of a police car. Handcuffed. They didn't find a gun on him, but he had a gun. So he pulls out the gun and shoots himself in the head.
Hmm.
Like, wow. Like, what? And I think it was for, like, a DUI or something crazy, right? It wasn't even, like, anything that serious. It wasn't like he was going to go to jail for the rest of his life. Not that, you know, a DUI isn't serious, but I don't know if it's serious enough to get you to kill yourself.
Yeah.
I should actually say what the fuck that is. I should Google that. Man, handcuffed.
I saw Louis C.K. last night at the Improv.
Yeah?
And, man, that guy is rolling around like a rock star now. He sold out two shows at the thing. And then went to the Comedy Store and sold out the main room in 20 minutes.
Yeah, and he had a midnight show, and I think he like sold the tickets like in cash at
only.
The door.
Cash
yeah.
only.
That's hilarious.
And wow, man, all new material.
How was it?
I wasn't even allowed in the room. That's how crazy packed it was. Oh. I couldn't even look in the room amazing. At the Comedy Store, which is, if you know the Comedy Store, if you're a regular there, you usually can like sit in the back or like look in the back. Couldn't even do that. It was too packed.
That's amazing. Wow. Man.
But everyone said it was amazing shows.
Yeah. Ari asked me if I wanted to go, but I was too tired. Yeah, I'm trying to find out what this kid did. I don't know. They're just this, I don't want to keep looking, but the whole thing's crazy. Like that a person could handcuff, shoot themselves in the temple. I mean,
well, and Joe, that's part of that is the danger of this rapper. And we did an article on Loop 21 called Rick Ross, Hip Hop's War Against Black Men, where we really talk about the danger of putting out these perpetual criminal black man images.
Yeah.
And we looked more at Trayvon at that time and just discussed the reality. This is an interview of me and Rick, and we discussed the reality of when you put that image out, how it creates fear mongering. Not only amongst the cops, but also regular citizens like Zimmerman.
Yeah.
And people just have that already in their head when they see Trayvon with the iced tea walking home. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's the perpetual criminal image. Really, in like the way it entered into white society was gangster rap in the 80s. Because before that, it's like there was never any entertainers that would brag about being criminals. Like, that shit didn't exist.
No.
It never existed. In rock and roll, there was a little bit of, like, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. I mean, that was about as crazy as it got. You know, it never got like N.W.A. I mean, I remember I was a kid and I was listening to N.W.A. while I was on a stair climber. And I was like, this is the craziest shit I've ever heard. Listen to what the fuck they're saying. Like, this is nuts. Like, they are just out. And I was thinking, man, society is going down the shitter. This is craziness.
Absolutely. But, and then you look at that cover and you come back to the question that you asked. Why does he have to look like that?
Right.
Was that the whole photo shoot or was that just the craziest shot that they found in the photo shoot?
At least he doesn't have a gun on him. At least he's not like holding a diamond crusted gun.
Come on, pull up your pants.
Yeah. What is this sagging thing, man?
Put on a shirt.
Yeah.
And just take a nice picture.
What do you say he has?
Take a nice picture.
Take a nice picture for church.
Go to Owen Mills.
This is fucking underwear photo. Look at his underwear. It's so just, silly.
What that picture is I don't care.
But they do have a picture of him in there in his uniform. What? In his correctional officer uniform.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah. They do?
When he get his award. You know, he was the best CO at the academy.
The best. What do you have to do to be the best?
Perfect attendance. That's what you got an award for.
Get a guy that got an extra stamp and an extra scoop.
Oh, yep, there's a picture of him.
A guy that kissed his girlfriend too long on the visit, and you bust his ass and put him in the hole.
Is that what he does?
Yeah.
Or they rapping over there, and then you...
You break up the rap group and steal all the lyrics. Oh, give me all those papers.
Do you think he stole lyrics from people, too?
Oh, absolutely.
For sure?
Yeah, he doesn't write his own music.
Is there a lot of rappers in jail that are talented guys that are stuck in
there? Oh, yeah.
Really?
Guys in jail got stories. You know, they've been there.
Can you zoom in on that?
That's him with his outfit on.
Yeah. And you see it live.
That's so ridiculous. It's so strange to see.
Why didn't
a
guy put that cover? Why didn't he put that on the cover?
No, but look at the cover, and then look at the. It's two different people.
Yeah,
it's two different people.
That beard does look like Ali G and the Dictator.
Yeah.
Yeah, that beard looks. Brian, see if you can pull up anything about his beard being.
I tried. I tried looking for it. Yeah, I didn't.
Shit looks fake. I'm going with it's fake. Even if it's not fake, who cares? The whole thing is silly. It's silly and ridiculous. Listen, man, I hope the one thing that we got out of this podcast is we started the Rick Ross podcast. That's what you need to do. And by the way, just call it the Rick Ross podcast, and this fool is going to get you millions of listeners almost immediately. And you could spell it out at the beginning of every podcast, just nice and clean and simple. If you go into this podcast thinking that it's Rick Ross the rapper, you've been misled. This is the real Rick Ross that Rick Ross the rapper ripped his name off from. You know why? Because I was one of the most successful drug dealers in the history of the United States, and I went to jail, and he thought I was going to jail for life. But I learned how to read in jail, and I got out because I found a hole in the fucking case, and now here I am on the Rick Ross podcast. Boom! That's the beginning of every episode. They would listen to that, and then every kid who would listen to it, who was probably a Rick Ross fan, the fake guy, the rapper, would listen to that first couple seconds, just you saying, if you thought this was Rick Ross, the rapper, nope, this is the dude that Rick Ross stole his fucking name from, the real Rick. People would be like, what? Stole his name? And then they get out their phones and start Googling shit. That alone might take this dude down. Or at least get him to pay.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of pressure on him, man. I mean, every time he comes out with something, if you really search the internet, like that Rolling Stone article came out on that Friday.
Right.
And we did a release, a letter. Rick and I sat down. I got his ideas. And we did a letter. And for the whole weekend, when you searched Rick Ross Rolling Stone, you can search it right now. Check it on Google. If you search Rick Ross Rolling Stone, like the top replies are our stuff.
And look, like if you just do Rick Ross, your thing that comes up news for Rick Ross is you know, so like people like that are searching for him automatically see the number one news thing is a interview with you.
Show him Rick Ross Rolling Stone on Google.
The whole thing is crazy. Yeah,
it is. America's crazy though. America's crazy.
It's definitely bizarre. You got a phone call to make?
Yeah. Right? I'm gonna tell you how to find a beer.
Oh, okay. The fake beard thing? That's funny. He's determined to let the world know about this fake beard thing.
No. That's my trademark. He stole my trademark.
The beard as well. The name's not enough.
He got a fake beard.
If you find out that beard is fake, that is so
crazy.
You
finna see right now. You finna see.
That statement. You finna see.
Oh, man.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. God, I hope it's really good. You find it, Brian? You know what to search for now?
I
gotta see this. I gotta see this. A fake beard. Come on, son. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's gonna be the rap, right?
That's ridiculous.
But the internet levels the whole playing field in terms of, like, even if mass media doesn't want to cover certain things, the internet allows us to do is immediately put pressure through. Oh, wow.
When did you notice the most impact?
Look at this.
That's not. Is that him?
No, that's not him.
That's Rick Ross.
That's how you do it, I guess. The style of how you do it. How you fill it in.
Oh, well, go to him, man. Let's find him. This is just a dude getting.
I think this is
trimmed.
What they're talking about.
No, like what they're saying is how you fill it in. If it isn't coming in all together.
Oh, okay. You add
what you use.
To it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we got to see him do it, though.
I don't think they have him do it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there's no actual Rick Ross footage of him getting his...
No.
Okay. Damn. We're just speculating. That's not good enough.
You want facts.
Yeah, we got to find out the actual facts. We can't just talk shit on the dude. There's enough shit to talk shit on anyway. I mean, okay. how is this guy sagging?
Look at this. Look at the stuff they use.
Oh, they're putting paste on his face.
That's like that spirit gum that you use for like fake mustaches that it looks like, which is like a really sticky...
Old men use it like, on their head.
Yeah, glue. And then it looks like they're...
No, they're gluing some fake hair on this fool's face.
Oh, wow.
This is not just the spray-on hair
shit. I've never
shit.
Seen this.
This is like fake actual hairs are in there.
Oh.
Oh, this is crazy. Oh, that's disgusting.
That's exactly how it...
Look how stupid that looks.
Yeah, that's exactly how he does it, though. I mean, it's...
But look how stupid that looks. Who would want a beard that looks like that?
A superhero.
All right. Yeah, that's like a wax figure.
It looks perfect, though.
That's so
perfect.
Weird.
That's so weird.
Look at that booger.
That is a very
That's
strange thing.
That's how you get
thing.
a perfect beard.
That's a strange thing to do with your fucking time.
See, I don't even want mine perfect no more.
Yeah. You're better off the way you are. That looks like madness.
Yeah.
That looks like a crazy person. Like, he's determined to get that shit perfectly smooth.
It's creepy.
What is the best thing that's come out of this, man?
Well, out of my whole life, the best thing that's come out now is that I'm able to go back and tell kids the real story, you know, how a person can go from being a tennis player to selling drugs, you know, almost overnight. You know, one day I was a tennis player, and the next day I'm a drug dealer. So it's not like they tell you that this big mean monster is going to come down and start you to selling drugs. One of my best friends started me selling drugs. He showed me cocaine for my first time. He explained it to me. He sold me on the idea. And what I think is so important that these kids know that's how you're going to get induced to drugs. Not by some stranger, not from Rick Ross, the drug dealer, is not going to come down and introduce you to drugs. You know, it's going to be somebody close to you. So I think with me using my experience and my story to educate the world, you know, I believe that we definitely need educating. And that's what I'm doing now. You know, we're doing a documentary called Cracking the System. We still underfunded.
Doing it with Mark Levin. Mark Levin is the HBO director who just did Prayer for a Perfect Season and Lost on Long Island, Hard Times. It's nominated for some Emmys. We expect to get some Oscar nods on this documentary. It's that powerful.
There's so many different facets and phases of your life. It's so interesting to have your, you know, run in Los Angeles phase, to being incarcerated with no hope of escaping phase, to figuring out how to read phase, to now educating kids phase. This is, I mean... What is it like to be at this phase of your life now, like reflecting back on all the madness of the previous phases?
It's like, wow, you know, this is what you had to go through to become who you are today. You know, had I not went through all those scenarios, had I not been bitten by the dog, beaten in the head with flashlights, had drugs planted on you by the police, could I be able to rationalize all the things that I ration with right now, you know? Being able to sit in prison with a guy that you gave his first drug to, and he has a life sentence. And at one time, we both got life sentences. You know, this guy wanted to be like me so much that he not only copied me, but he also went to prison with me, had a life sentence with me. We walked the track, and then I have to walk, when I walked out of prison to leave him there, all these things shaped me for who I am today. And I believe that that's what gives me the ability to be able to walk in a boardroom with an Ori Emanuel or Jeff Bird or Michael Linton, and then I can leave from there and go to South Central to Watts and go to Jordan High School and sit there and talk to the kids.
How many dudes get out after long stretches like that and they become institutionalized and they can't take the regular world?
I think it's a lot. I mean, even myself, I was institutionalized when I was in prison. I mean, because I function in prison at a high level. You know, prison didn't affect me. You know, like right now, even when I got into it with my PO and he was talking about sending me back, I was like, send me back for a year. A year is nothing. You know, I can do a year on a handstand. You know, so I believe that it's very easy to get institutionalized. It's very easy to start to go with the flow, start to like being there, to say that the world on the outside is not real, you know, that being in here is what's real. I mean, I had a friend I just heard a couple weeks ago. He did 20 years flat with me. We started out at the same time. Matter of fact, he started out a little before I did. And before that, he did juvenile hall and had been incarcerated all his life. Well, just the other week, he went and did one of the stupidest crimes that you can't believe it. He almost had a life sentence for crack cocaine. He went and sold somebody 2 ounces of crack cocaine, I hear. And now he's back in jail, and he's looking at a life sentence all over again, or 20 years.
God damn. The guy,
and the guy's intelligent. This guy graduated from college. So while he was in prison, he went to college. He got degrees. I mean, just a brilliant guy. But
did he move right back home to his like own old stomping ground?
He had nowhere else to go. Yeah. Where was he going to go?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, you get out of jail, you do 20 years. You don't have anything. You don't have anybody. I mean, you know, he was lucky that his father took him in. And, you know, he just slid back in, you know, to what he knew. You know, I think drugs becomes like a crutch for the seller, you know, where if something goes wrong, he knows how to fix it. And that's go out and sell him some drugs. And, you know, now I got a place to live. I got gas in my car. I'm eating. I'm respectful again, you know.
Do you think that any of that could ever be stopped? Is there you must have spent a lot of time thinking about the whole system of illegal drug trade and, you know, what got you into. Is there a way to ever stop that?
Well, we're going to have to give real opportunity, not fake opportunity, like so many people are selling right now. You know, so many people right now are selling us fake opportunity when there's really no opportunities. There's no manufacturing jobs. You know, they send all our jobs overseas. I mean, if you want to be a operator, you got to go to India, you know. So what we're going to have to do is figure out how we can make our people feel important again. How do you make a person feel important?
Can that stop drugs, though? Can that stop the sale of drugs? And if drugs are illegal, are they always going to be wanted? Is it always going to be a market for them that's a criminal market?
Absolutely. I believe that the only way we can solve this drug problem is with education. Because, like you said, as long as there's a demand for drugs, there's going to be a supplier. Once we end the demand, then the suppliers will automatically go away because they're not going to be standing around holding drugs that nobody wants.
Right. You know? So we got to educate people. That's a high level of education, the point where they don't want drugs, because even this motherfucker loves drugs. He's always getting fucked up.
I think that there's one thing inside of what Rick is saying that's very powerful. And we got to realize that when the seller is selling, his drug isn't only the money. It's the power and the respect. And if you can find an alternate way for that person, to, I'm not saying get the same level of respect, but be respected, then you can give them an alternate route that isn't as dangerous. They might choose that over the extra money.
Oh, for sure. Right? Yeah, well, absolutely. Everybody would most certainly choose a karma-free form of success over success that involves, like, real dangerous shit and going to jail and getting shot. It's just how do we get people to aspire that high? I mean, we gotta do a lot of work on the culture of this country, of the way we raise human beings. I mean, all of this from Snooki to this ridiculous nonsense that we feed each other. It's like, ooh, it's okay if it's just you at the airport picking it up and laughing, but it's the people that actually get influenced by this ding-dong culture of nonsense and fake drug sales and fake shooting people. It's like, what are we promoting? Like, what the fuck are we doing? Is it just a mad money grab?
And these people do it with no responsibility.
Exactly.
I mean, they don't have any responsibility. I think that if you allow a magazine to put a guy in there who's saying, I sell drugs, they should be held accountable for that. I mean, because all I did in selling drugs, let me tell you what I did in selling drugs, really. Because I didn't manufacture the drugs.
Right.
All I did was got the drugs from one guy and hand them to another guy. So if you're handing off drug information, then you should be liable for that type of information. If you're putting out records, were you telling kids to go out and sell drugs to parlay that into a record
and
career?
And it's funny because that sounds outlandish. Yeah. But like when we look at NWA, you talked about them earlier. The FBI went after NWA when cops started getting shot up after NWA came out with the cop killing song. The FBI had made an attempt to charge NWA.
Wasn't that Ice-T, actually? Wasn't that Cop Killer?
No, but they had one, too.
Yeah,
they had a Cop Killer
song,
too?
Fuck the police.
Fuck the police.
Yeah, and then
but the FBI went after them under the concept that they're perpetuating image they're
right.
putting out that's making people do this, and the same thing goes. That's what
I mean, well, it should go.
It should go, but they're making money off the drug trade in a sort of a peripheral entertainment based way, right? That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
So they really are making money off the glamorization of the drug trade.
But you forget the other part of it, which is, I mean, sometimes you see, I don't know if you've ever seen where they'll rip down a building just uh-huh. to create the jobs that build the building back up. What
really?
They're making money off of now is actually ripping down black men's lives in some of these cases. Because like, what's happening is these black men come out in these areas. And I'm a former prosecutor here in L.A. And these black men are born into certain areas where they're crime-riddled, they're drug-infested. And then essentially they go out and they sell the drugs. And instead of fixing the drug problem by saying, we're not going to let the drugs in the community no more, what they do is then push them into prison. But you got to remember, it's not just pushing them into prison. There's jobs all along the way, which is like somebody got to type in his name. Somebody got to file his paperwork.
Right.
These are jobs for everybody else other than the black people that get to basically manage this destruction of this man's life.
Yeah, there is unquestionably a whole industry involved in keeping people locked up. There's an industry involved in going after people. There's an industry involved in even making sure that people continue to commit crimes, making sure that things that shouldn't even be crimes stay crimes so that you can keep people in jail. And that's hard for people to accept, especially those no-nonsense Mitt Romney-loving dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the way things work. You're a crazy conspiracy theorist. But no, that really is the
way
things work.
We're going to pay $40,000 to keep you in prison, but we're not going to give you a job where you can make $18,000 a year. And then you won't commit a crime.
It's crazy how many people are in jail. And I don't think most people understand that the numbers in America are higher than anywhere else in the world.
This is the crazy part. Is the numbers in America right now are about 700 per 100,000. Like the highest that you've seen basically in the world. But the highest rate ever in a recorded nation is about 800 per 100,000. That was in Russia during the war camps. During the African apartheid. For the Africans that were oppressed, it was like 852 per 100,000. For black men today, between 25 and 35, it's 10,000 per 100,000 that are in prison.
Holy
10
shit.
Times the highest rate ever. And the thing is, it's not even part of the DNC convention at all. No discussion of it as a platform. So you have all these, when you watch the convention, and funny enough, this is no degrade, but it's a lot of African-American women. Well, if your father or your brother or your uncle's in prison, you should demand that that's part of their platform. How is that not part of their platform? Like that they address why all these men have went to prison for nonviolent offenses for as long as they have.
Yeah, when the numbers are that high, it seems like that's a social epidemic.
Yeah.
It's an epidemic. Yeah. They have to figure out what caused that situation and treat it like an outbreak of a disease. Like there's something fucking terribly wrong in this one area. This one area. What was the number again?
10,000 per. It's
10,000 per 100,000
for black men between 25 and 35. Overall, it's 5,000 per 100,000. So that tells you the old ones aren't going to prison as much as the young ones.
It's a scary number. That's a terrifying number because 10,000 for 100,000. That's 1 in 10.
Yeah, 1 in 10.
That's insane.
Yeah,
1 in 10 in jail.
That's not even counting the ones that are cycling.
That doesn't even make sense. That seems like it's impossible because you think about it, how many people are actually in the hood. It's not all black guys are in the hood. So a lot of black guys are growing up in suburban neighborhoods. You have to factor in the hood must be way higher than 1 in 10. It's probably 50%. It's probably something nutty like that.
And don't talk about unemployment or something like that. You know, when they talk about these numbers like 15% or I think like it's 50%. That's not me.
Well,
that's
you know what the numbers are. They're only in people who haven't been looking. When people stop looking, the numbers don't show up
like
anymore.
My brothers, they're not looking for jobs.
They don't even count on unemployment. I mean, I don't understand unemployment rates. I don't know. I don't understand how a president can create jobs either. When they talk, we've created 100,000 jobs. Like, what did you – What did you do to create jobs?
Illegalize something.
Yeah, man, that's it, right? Yeah, no shit, man. It's a strange world. We have to figure out a way to make it profitable for evil companies to make people smarter and clean up crime. If we could figure out a way to take Halliburton out of Iraq and have them rebuild South Central, make it a trillion-dollar contract to rebuild fucked-up areas, wouldn't that be an amazing way to use resources?
Absolutely.
I mean,
there's
if you think about lithium
in South Central, though.
There's not, but yeah, the way if you really believe that, that's why we're in Iraq. Yeah, if you but you got to think that there is got to be some benefit in the resource of human beings and developing intelligent human beings.
Joe Rogan, this is a country that had slavery. Like, let's be honest.
By the way, every country had slavery.
Yeah.
Every single country. Not only that, most of them still do. I wonder how many countries still rock. I mean, including America. I mean, we're playing games if we pretend that we don't have slavery here. Because all people that are here without green cards or working for cash essentially are slaves. All those poor fucks who can't get a green card. You know, you sneak over here from Mexico, man. Good luck. You sneak over here from anywhere else. Good luck. You got to exist, you know, day to day, hoping you don't get found out. You're never going to make more than a certain amount of money unless you do something illegal. You know, I mean, and how many people are slavery in other countries where they take people's passports away and they make them work on construction sites? There's a lot of slavery still going on. They're always busting people here and there for a basement full of indentured servants. You know, it's like slavery officially went away, but it's still, there's parts of the world where slavery is pretty goddamn commonplace. And that's amazing. In 2012, we're that fucked up.
Yeah.
You'd imagine
that was something we could have got rid of.
What's amazing when you think of how recent slavery in the United States was.
Yes, it is.
A couple hundred years ain't shit.
No, it's not even a couple not hundred even. Years.
Did you,
there was a PBS special.
Right?
There was a PBS special called Slavery by Another Name. I had Rick watch it. The guy that did the documentary worked for the Wall Street Journal. And what he showed is that while we ended slavery with the Emancipation Proclamation in the 1860s, we didn't really end slavery till 1945. That's when the FBI, when you said, my brother is being held as a slave on this farm, that's the first time the FBI went in and investigated it.
So for 80 years, they just let it go?
They just let it go. And then this is the kicker. He showed that between 1865 and 1960, only one white person was ever convicted of a murder of a black man. One time.
Whoa.
And these are the Democratic National Convention again didn't talk about any of that.
Whoa.
They didn't see the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
There's people that will get angry when someone talks about reparations for slavery. But if you don't think that the culture needs to put a certain amount of emphasis on something that happened in the previous century that, if that's really 1940, the previous century that might control like the fate of millions and millions and millions of Americans that are in fucked up situations. It just seems like to me, I've always said this, I'll say it one more time, the society is stronger when you have less losers. It would seem to me that if you really wanted to make America better, you don't go to foreign countries. You take all the kids that are growing up fucked up and you figure out a way to get them counselors. You figure out a way to bring in sports. You figure out a way to get them education. You figure out a way to, it seems to be way cheaper to do that than it would be to go to Afghanistan with tanks.
You would sentence cocaine worse than crack then, too.
What's that?
I said you would sentence cocaine worse than crack, too. That seems like logical as well.
That whole thing is silly, isn't it? Crack is worse than cocaine as far as sentencing, right?
Yep. It was 100 times worse. They moved it to 18 and didn't do it retroactively.
100 times worse.
It was sentenced 100 times worse. So to put it in context so people can understand, for 5 little rocks, you got sentenced the same amount as if you had half a kilo.
Whoa. That's
crazy. And it's not just about the size of it. It's the realization that only a few people will get to a half a kilo level of sales. Everybody does this 5 rock sales level.
So it was just to pull crackheads off the street at will. They could just lock everybody in jail as long as they wanted to. And when were private prisons introduced into the society?
Probably around 1889, something like that.
We should
90s.
Find out, huh? We should know. That seems like a fucking huge Reagan era mistake. You know, when were private prisons invented?
But I know they definitely corrupted the system. When you let big corporations get into prisons,
that number like I gave you earlier, black imprisonment in the 70s was like 10%.
92. First happened in the United Kingdom. In 1992, they figured it out. These motherfuckers.
Adds a lot of jobs to the economy, though.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, I guess it does, right?
Yeah, you got to have somebody to process, file the paperwork. You got correctional officers.
Feeding them.
Yeah, like William
Ross. Somebody got to feed them, you know, grow the food, even though they grow the food themselves, but they won't feed that food to the prisoners.
Actually, in the United States, in England, they started in the 90s. But in the United States, they've been doing it since the 1800s. Beginning in 1868, convict leases were issued to private parties to supplement their workforce.
And that's part in this documentary, Slavery by Another Name, as well. What they showed is that Chase, J.P. Morgan, after slavery ended in 1865, what they did effectively is they would make it a crime for you not to have a job. It's called vagrancy laws.
Uh-huh.
And then once they captured you, they would give you like 3 days. But once you couldn't pay that, your fees made it so like it was just longer and longer. And then they would throw you in the mine to work it off. And then you would die in the mine.
That's essentially what they're saying here. Yeah. They're saying that farmers and businessmen needed to find replacements for the labor force once their slaves had been freed.
Yeah.
So beginning in 1868, convict leases were issued to private parties to supplement their workforce. That's fucking crazy. They just found a loophole. They made people go right back to slavery by just locking them up in jail. So jail, really, essentially, private prisons are an offshoot of slavery.
Yeah,
it really is an extension.
There's something called the pig law that was, and it's funny because the number is more important than the name of the law. The pig law, the minimum sentence, if you were a black guy, you stole a white guy's pig, you were given 5 years in a felony status. Well, the mandatory minimum for crack is 5 years in a felony status.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, they're not, you know, too genius with it.
So what happens was, they did this in the 1860s after the slavery was instituted, was made illegal. But then in the 1980s, that's when shit kicked into the next level, and that was the crack epidemic. The crack epidemic actually opened up the door to ushering a new era of private prisons.
Absolutely.
It's amazing, man.
That's
they
what
just
I see.
They realize they can make money.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you look at this music doesn't help because it perpetuates and it almost like it's like Viagra with sex. you listen to this music, you become a little violent, angry little person, and then you do something that you normally might not do if you listen to Marvin Gaye.
It's true.
You know?
It's a good point. You won't hurt nobody listening to Marvin Gaye.
Yeah,
the modern private prison business first emerged and established itself publicly in 1984 when the Corrections Corporation of America was awarded a contract to take over a facility in Hamilton County, Tennessee. How much would it suck to go to jail in Hamilton County, Tennessee when these motherfuckers passed that law?
Yeah, they would put you in this mine. And then you wouldn't even see the light of day. And they would. And the thing about being a prisoner versus a slave, they said, is that at least as a slave, you were property. So they had some value for you as property. But when you're a prisoner, they just throw you away. So then they treat you worse.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
they would just call the jail and tell him, oh, he died.
Yeah, prison is worse than slavery.
We need
because
another one.
You have, there's a benefit for you being able to work to be healthy. So there's a benefit of them feeding you and keeping you alive. Private companies in the United States operate 264 correctional facilities. Holy shit. Private prisons, there's 264 of them in this country. They house almost 99,000 adult convicts. This is insane, man. That's crazy. That's a scary, scary, scary statistic.
Yeah.
It just makes you really wonder who's paying attention to any of this. While everybody's going over gay marriage. What about gay marriage? Like, you need to pay attention to the craziness at the base of our society.
Well, look what they did with the crack law. Now, they said, okay, the crack law was wrong. We're going to make it 18-1. But there's guys that have been in prison 25, 30 years right now for selling crack.
And there's no retroactive
They didn't
release.
Make it. If they'd have made it 18-1 for them, they get out tomorrow.
And the life is just wasted. They don't want to take a chance, and they can make money off you being inside.
And then the crazy part about the crack sentencing law is, and I asked another DA this that had more experience than myself, is there any law on the books, nonviolent, that's punished that way? And he said no. I mean,
and then, so it's a racist law.
We met the guy who wrote it. He said that there's no law before or at, he's in our documentary, Cracking the System. You guys got to check it out when it comes out. Let us know,
when is it going to be out?
Next year.
When it comes out, come here. Come here again, and we'll pump that motherfucker through the roof.
Definitely. We have him and Rick sitting on the couch, and he looks at Rick dead-eyed and apologizes to Black America. He says, I put more black men in prison than anybody alive. He said that I've never seen a law before or after it that was written that way without – they didn't do no investigation of DA. They didn't talk to DEA agents. They didn't talk to lab specialists. They just wrote the law.
So they just wanted to figure out a way where they can get people in jail that aren't even going to complain. And they did it during the era when there must have been some pressure to clean up the streets because the crack epidemic was crazy. I remember the epidemic.
Even some of the people who now are against it was crying out to change it.
Yeah. Man, that's fucking nuts.
But yeah, definitely. As soon as we're still raising some money. We got to raise a few more hundred grand for this Cracking the Systems. But what we did is we've been going around investigating, doing all our work. You know, going over archive footage of Ronald Reagan talking about. We got Ronald Reagan talking about crack cocaine, right?
We got a cop that was in that did 5 years for basically planting drugs, and for the first time ever, he's on camera.
Whoa!
And he looks like fucking De Niro or somebody. Classic. So we got him basically talking about what drove him to plant drugs and to actually take money. Because, you know, you come in, we're talking about 1980, you come into a house with a 15-year-old kid in there, and there's $60,000 on the floor, which is like $300,000 today.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that go through your mind. He goes through the process of how you get to the point where you take 150 and you report 150.
Right.
And how his family needed things, and it's just crazy. This doc is going. We're going to win an Oscar with this one.
Wow, I can't wait to see it. Definitely come in right before it happens, man. Come in right before you release it. We'll blow that fucking thing up. One other question: what's the most realistic movie on the drug trade? Is there any realistic movies?
That I saw,
like Blow. Was
Blow
that realistic?
Blow was close.
Blow was close.
Yeah, that's why I let Nick write my my script.
Oh, it's the same guy is writing your script?
Yeah. Yeah, Blow was really close.
What's his name? Nick what?
Nick Cassavetti.
Cassavetti?
Yeah. He's supposed to direct the movie for us.
When is that going to happen?
We working on that right now, too.
Is Too Short going to play you?
No.
Too Short?
I spoke to Too Short
last
night.
If he was taller, he could play you. Facially, you guys look similar a little bit.
You must have known me and Too Short had a conversation last night.
No, I'm just a Too Short fan.
Is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
A great rapper.
I'll let him know.
Yeah, please do, man. I love that guy.
I have to bring him through. Next time he's in town, I'll bring him through.
Please do. Please do.
Yeah.
What actor is going to play you?
We don't know yet. We tinkering with quite a few people. I talked to Jamie Foxx about a week ago.
Jamie Foxx can do anything. Yeah, that guy can become anybody. When I saw Ray Charles, I was like, nobody else could have done that. And then when they said he was going to play Mike Tyson, I was like, he could do it. He could do it.
Hey, tell him pull up the picture with him and Jamie on it.
So he could play Mike Tyson. And everybody's like, what? He doesn't look anything like Mike Tyson. He could get to look like Mike Tyson, and he could play it. He could do it. I know he could do it.
Jamie had the beard and everything because he was doing Django Unchained.
Oh, that's right. When is that coming out?
December.
I saw the ads for it a while ago.
It's supposed to come out December
25th. I hate when they do that. They get your dick hard like 6 months in advance for a good movie, and then you wait.
We're gonna knock him out with
and
this one
you
here.
Because
this is the real Scarface.
Wow.
I mean,
this is your real life story.
And that's what really trips me out about Hollywood is, you know, when you come with a real story, they don't really get that same type of drive for it. Yesterday, somebody come to me, right? They want to hire me as a consultant to go on a TV show about a gangster in South Central Los Angeles. I'm like, well, why are you guys doing a fictional story when you got the real thing right here? Oh, well.
It's probably too scary for them.
There's a picture right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could totally play you.
Yeah, and what's crazy is we were talking to the guy that did Benjamin Buttons on how you would make him look 20 again. He was giving us all the special effects.
Oh, yeah, you could do amazing shit. Yeah. Did you see that movie Tron where they took, what's homeboy's name? The fucking older dude. I want to say William Hurt, but that's not him.
No, it's
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. Yeah.
They turned Jeff Bridges back to where he was when he was like 20 years old.
Benjamin Buttons, they did that with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, they could do anything. It's as far as that, but as far as like pulling it off. Jamie, you got to get Jamie Foxx. He played that homeless dude who was the music virtuoso. Like, he could do anything, man. He's just one of those dudes. He just, no matter what he seems like when he's just talking in interviews and fucking around, when it comes down to actual acting, he's one of those dudes who can become a different guy.
Yeah.
There's only a few of those Russell Crowe, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis type dudes out there, but Jamie Foxx can do the shit out of that. Mm-hmm. That Ray Charles, man, god damn.
It was phenomenal.
And then when you realize he's actually singing that shit, that's what's even crazier. Like, Jamie Foxx is a fucking incredible singer, too.
Yeah, and the thing about our script, the way it's written, it's like a mix between Traffic. I would say Traffic, Blow, and like Boys in the Hood.
No Scarface at all in there?
Scarface, too. That's what I was going to tell you. Let me say one more thing about Scarface, because we met with the producer of Scarface. And it's interesting because we were sitting and watching Scarface. Remember that 83 is like around the same time as Rick. Right. And like when Scarface goes overseas to the connection, he's talking about like a 100 keys a month. Mm-hmm. Rick was doing that a day. It's like get your weight up, Scarface.
Wow. Scarface just got clowned.
But this story actually has international appeal. Just like I was saying, like Costa Rica Times picked up the spin article.
Oh, it's fascinating.
So we have, the way it's written, it's not just Rick. It's like 60%, 50% black, 30% Latino, and then the remainder is white. So you have the reporter, and you have the politicians, you have the Latina, the Nicaraguans, and then you have Rick's story. So this just has a phenomenal reach for everybody who likes different aspects of those kind of movies.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds pretty fucking incredible, man. And, you know, so you have it, they don't have the script's done, but they don't have a cast. They don't have a projection when it's going to start.
Yeah, we're still raising the budget right now.
You could sell crack cocaine and make a lot of money.
Dude, what the fuck, Brian? Didn't you learn from the story? The story is so important.
No, do you have a Kickstarter account? Because that seems like one of the best ways to raise a bunch of money, especially for a movie or something like that.
True, yeah.
Kickstarter.
And if you ever have something like that, please come back and we'll promote the shit out of it. Anything you guys want, anytime you want, just let me know.
Okay.
And you can come back. We enjoyed the shit out of this as well as the last time.
Man.
You know, you're a cool motherfucker and your story's amazing. And thank you, dude. Thank you very much for all the information that you distributed today. And I think you guys have a great message. You know, yeah. I think, you know, both you guys are doing amazing shit.
Appreciate you having us on, man, and hopefully I continue to grow friends from being on your show. You know,
you will.
I go places and people come, I saw you on Joe Rogan. Yeah. You know,
Freeway Ricky.
Unquestionably, man. Listen, we will help you blow up just like we help everybody else, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
And I appreciate
much.
All y'all out there who support me. I love you.
Yeah, we got some cool people that are tuned in. And I want to thank one of them, this guy, William Blankenship. He apparently got upset because we used some of his artwork in a caricature in the recent ad for Santa Barbara, but you probably just pulled some shit offline.
Posters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just Google search your name.
Yeah.
I know. It's not like.
People don't understand how silly it is.
Yeah.
But
it's like an avatar.
We didn't know. He wanted to just get credit, so I'm giving him credit. William, cool. Thanks a lot, dude. Thanks for making that.
Thanks, William.
No, he's not complaining. He's just being a little needy.
Make sure you go to freewayrick.com and add his Facebook, his Twitter. It's all there on freewayrick.com. Real easy spell.
Yeah, go to deskwad.tv and pick up the. How many cats are left? Limited edition. It's only.
The second t-shirt, it's half sold. Out right now.
Get in there, bitches. The shit's everywhere. It's on MTV, all right? Fake Rick Ross, go fuck yourself. You're a ridiculous human being. How dare you? America should say that to you. How dare you? We'll accept you. We'll accept you. Your hustling song's a good song. Change your name, son, and pay up, right?
Lenny William Bob.
All that good shit. All right, folks. Thanks to Onnit.com for sponsoring our podcast and Ting as well. And I forgot the fucking Ting address. God damn it.
Go what to Ting it? And use.
Don't make shit up. This is important.
I'm trying to remember. It's $50, though.
Yeah, you save 50 bucks. I have a hard time using this Windows shit, man. I might not be able to make it with this Alienware. Okay, here's the actual address. It's rogan.ting.com. And if you use that, you'll save 50 bucks off of a new fat Android phone. The Galaxy S3 is the one I got. Like I said, it's delicious. Love it. And thanks to Onnit.com. Go get yourself some kettlebells, battle ropes, and Alpha Brain, all that good shit. Use the code name Rogan, and you will save 10% off any and all supplements. All right, you dirty bitches. We will see you next week. We got Kat Von D's coming in. I believe Eddie Bravo is going to come in with her, too, because Kat Von D tattooed Eddie Bravo's grandmom on his chest. It's pretty fucking badass.
That's right.
That's it. All right, freaks. We love you. We'll see you soon.